Saturday delivery and close more post offices, but the Congress won't let it. Manchester United starts trading on the New York Stock Exchange today. The 134-year-old club is one of the best-known sports franchises on the planet. It will trade under the ticker ManU. Google has agreed to pay a $22 million fine on charges it violated privacy laws. Here's NBC's Chris Clackham.
Google used cookies to monitor Safari browser users on iPhones, iPads, and Macs. Those users had turned on Apple privacy features to prevent such tracking.
This is NBC News Radio. Lance Armstrong's lawyers will be in federal court in Texas today arguing that an investigation into allegations by the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency that he used steroids and blood boosters violates his constitutional rights. A mass of volcanic rocks nearly the size of Belgium has been found floating off the coast of New Zealand. They think it's from an underwater volcano. Shannon Easton is the first woman ever to officiate an NFL game during last night's San Diego-Green Bay game. She's been officiating in college for 16 years. And two Texas women just happened to be at the jail where Randy Travis was booked for drunk driving and threatening the police. They got a picture with him and helped him out to his car. One of them is Brenda Fontenot.
Looked like he was very depressed and upset. Ashamed of himself, I'd say.
He's out on $20,000 bond. I'm Scott Walterman. NBC News Radio.
Your first word probably wasn't something like finance or savings or ATM. But whatever that first word was, it opened up a world to you that was built on conversations. It's this exchange of ideas that Wells Fargo puts into practice every day through listening, guiding, and planning. So when the conversation is about ways to grow your savings or your business, we'll be here to help you find the right answers. Because an open dialogue is what opens doors. Wells Fargo. Together we'll go far. Wells Fargo Bank N.A.
For a while now, Exxon and Mobil have been talking about clean. But what exactly does clean mean? Well, it means all Exxon and Mobil gasoline is specifically engineered to help remove harmful deposits. It means our gasoline helps clean your intake valves, your engine runs smoother, and reduce emissions. It even means it helps improve fuel economy. At Exxon and Mobil, clean means gasoline that works smarter for you. Learn more at fuelprogress.com. Exxon and Mobil, think clean.
Maybe it's not yet game over, but video game sales fell in July for an eighth straight month. Industry researcher NPD Group says sales of game software, consoles, and accessories were down 20% in July at just over $584 million. Game console sales were hardest hit, down by a third. Nintendo's handheld 3DS was the only console to see sales increases over last year. Walmart and Target are not happy with it, but lawyers for the nation's retailers are going ahead with a $7 billion antitrust settlement with Visa and MasterCard. The antitrust deal would be the largest of its kind in U.S. history. It would end a seven-year-old lawsuit accusing the two credit card companies of conspiring with major banks to artificially inflate the amount paid to process electronic transactions involving credit and debit cards. The deadline for the deal is October 19th. Slowing international trade for China has stock traders worried, so S&P futures are down 5 points now, NASDAQ down 7, Dow futures in the red by 44. I'm Steve Potusk in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Jay with SafeLight Auto Glass.
We know you depend on your vehicle. So when you have auto glass damage, you need it fixed fast. SafeLight has more glass in stock than anyone. So when you schedule a replacement with SafeLight, we'll get you back on your way faster. Plus, our work is backed by the only national lifetime guarantee, keeping you covered anywhere.
Just tell your insurance company you want SafeLight or call 1-800-800-2727 or go to SafeLight.com.
SafeLight Repair, SafeLight Replace.
Hello, this is Bank. How can I help you?
Yeah, hi. My wife and I just had a baby, and I need to cash in my CD early.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank
Please
you.
Note, early withdrawal penalties do apply. These are up to but not restricted to 50% of the CD's value.
We're not sure what some banks mean when they say, how can I help you? At Ally Bank, we offer a no-penalty CD that lets you withdraw all your money after the first week of funding and keep the interest earned with no penalties. That's how Ally helps. Ally Bank. No nonsense. Just people sense. Member FDIC.
On my journey to help save people money on car insurance, people have been really surprised to learn that GEICO can also help with renter's insurance. They're even more surprised when I tell them it costs as little as $12 a month. But perhaps what's most surprising is that I still live with my mum. Yeah, I know, I really should start thinking about renting my own place. but then I'd have to get me own tea kettle. Sofa, shower curtain, soap dish.
Visit Geico.com to see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
E-discovery laws and government regulations require that certain businesses save electronic communication, namely emails, or face potential fines. Barracuda Networks, the world leader in content security, application delivery, and data protection, with more than 130,000 customers worldwide, can help. The Barracuda Message Archiver indexes and preserves all email communication while enforcing policies for regulatory compliance. Save email. Avoid penalties. Visit Barracuda.com/archiver to try the Barracuda Message Archiver free for 30 days. That's Barracuda.com/archiver.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Change mandates vision. Vision mandates intelligence. Intelligence mandates thought, and thought demands attention. As we look for leadership that demonstrates courage and conscience, we ask the deliberate question that provides the path to truth. And that question is, are you ready for change? And if you are you ready for First Shift with Tony Trupiano?
Well, and good morning, everybody. It is just 6 minutes after 6 o'clock on this Friday, the 10th day of August 2012. This is the last one for over a week. We are going to be taking a vacation. So I'm kind of wondering if this is going to be like, you know, that last day of school before vacation where everybody just goofs off. We can't do too much of that because we've got some serious guest today, and it would be really unprofessional for us to do that, although I'm sure there are some of you that claim we're not professional to begin with, but that's okay. I'm all right with that. Good morning. Yes, I do need to tell you that over the next 10 or 11 or 12 days, whatever it is, I will not lament the fact that I won't be setting an alarm clock, and I will not be setting an alarm clock in case that, and Anthony, as long as you're paying attention, I'm probably not going to be doing a lot of cooking either. I'm truly taking a vacation. I need a break, and I'm going to be taking it. You know, Joe DeSano told me when I had the gastric bypass surgery, he said, Tony, it's going to take you a good 6 to 8 months before you feel like you've got your mojo back. And it's been 5 months, not quite 5 months, and he's right. I still don't feel like I've got it back. So I'm looking forward to the week off. I'm sure that Jeff and Anthony are as well. We'll check in with them a little later, find out what they're doing. I'm going fishing this evening. I will be leaving to go to the Houlton Lake area to go fishing with a friend of mine from college, and looking forward to that. And then the rest of the week, I've got a couple projects that I want to get done around the house, but I really do not plan to plan anything. I do have a couple meetings to do, but they will be in the course of the week. And I scheduled them in times where I know I will be fully awake and don't even have to shave if I don't want to. Those are the kinds of meetings that I like. Good morning. What do we got going on today? Well, in the 7 o'clock hour, Zoe Lipman will be with us from the National Wildlife Federation. Zoe is a car czar in a way, with the NWF, and we're going to talk about fuel efficiency and the new standards and why everybody's on board with this, including the UAW and the automotive companies. We'll check in with her. We'll visit with Congressman Gary Peters after his victory on Tuesday. What are his plans moving forward? There is a general election. We take nothing for granted. He obviously wants to work to make sure that he is elected in November. But the reality is he's in an 80% plus Democratic district. If he doesn't win this one, well, he would have lots of splaining to do. But we'll check in with him. My good friend and yours, State Representative Harvey Santana, will be in studio with us today as Joe DeSano has the day off. He is himself taking some vacation time, as God knows he's earned it after all of the victories that he and Todd Cook at Main Street Strategies were able to orchestrate over the primary day on Tuesday. With all that said, let's get this going.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
This one was easy. Anybody want to take a guess at today's first word? This one was really easy. Vacation. That's it. I'm telling you, that's it. There's going to be no long dialogue, no interweaving of messages. No, this is why we're doing it. No justification, nothing. Vacation. Vacation. That's it. That's it. First word. Guys, that's my whole dialogue. We can end it. Vacation. That's it. I do, though, Jeff, good morning to you, sir. I do plan to watch some Tigers baseball next week when it's actually on, because I don't get to do that very often. Good morning. Anthony went to the game yesterday, by the way.
I was going to say, did you watch the game yesterday?
I did. And if Anthony would like to join us, we can have a discussion. If he doesn't want to join us, that's fine, too. But, yeah, I watched the game. That ninth inning gave me a little bit of a heart murmur. But, we didn't win.
Yeah, I don't know. First and third, no outs, and I know that's what's going to be hammered today, and it should be. You had Santiago, Quinton Berry, and my guy Andy Dierks, and none of them could come through. With Delman Young on the bench still, a guy who I think could probably have lifted a ball out to the outfield, at least. You know, he does like to swing a lot. He does like to hit the ball hard. He could probably have at least got it to the outfield.
Well, Santiago's out was really disappointing,
all three of them, really.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're right. All three of them were. It was, they ended up splitting a series that it looked like they were having some momentum in taking. But, that they were able to come back yesterday was good. Avila's home run. I had, by the way, had a way too long of a conversation with somebody the other day that had sent me an email and said, I was listening to you and Jeff talking about Alex Avila and his dad and why do they pronounce their last name differently? And I just wrote the guy back and said, I don't even know that they do, to be honest with you. I just, the media does, but I don't know that that the father and son do. I just don't know. This was my answer. So he wrote me back. We went back and forth a couple times. The guy ended up calling me because, as you know, my office number is on my email signature. And so we had a way too long of a conversation about that. But it was kind of interesting. He said, well, that'd be like you saying your last name's Truppiano and Anthony saying it's Trippiano. Would you let him get away with that? I said, I don't know that they. So let me ask you the question. Do you know if they say their last names differently?
They do.
Okay.
It's Al Avila, and it's actually Alex Avila. But he got sick and tired of people mispronouncing it, and he basically told the media, look, just call me Avila. And that's the story I've heard about how it happened. So, yeah, he basically told them, call me Avila. And so, Mario and Rod call him Avila. In fact, if you even listen to, like, Dan Dickerson and Mario and Rod and all those, they won't make a distinction. There's Al Avila in the box.
I know.
There's Alex Avila on the field.
That's why I was wondering if father and son were like, okay, well, wink, wink, nod, nod. We'll nudge, nudge. We'll let them play the game the way they want it. But we know what our last name really is.
Well, in the Spanish language, I mean, I took Spanish in high school, but that doesn't make me nearly an expert on it at all. But isn't the second vowel sound, isn't that it would be Avila. You know what I'm saying? Like the first one's not right, the second one is.
You're asking a guy that didn't have 30 seconds of Spanish in high school. So, yeah, I have no clue. No clue.
But, yeah, you're right. He had a great home run. Hit the Bell Tire Power Alley yesterday.
Excuse us. Are they a sponsor today? Are we getting money out of that?
No, I'm sorry. I just like the Bell Tire guy. Yeah, exactly.
Tire. Okay.
And I like to sit over there, by the way. My last three times at Comerica Park, right field. You got to get to right field sometime.
All right, I will. That's simple. Anthony, where did you sit at the game yesterday?
I didn't. It was standing tickets. We ended up standing by Kalen's corner in right field.
Okay. And is that a good place to stand, Jeff?
It is. Stand. I've never stood there.
Tickets. Was it sold out yesterday, eh?
I got the tickets like the sixth inning. So by the time I got there, people were piling out because of the rain. But I mean, it was still pretty full when I.
They had an announced attendance of like 40 some thousand. So pretty good. It's got to be
that's
close.
Paid attendance, right? When they give you that, that's paid attendance.
Yeah, I'm sure they didn't count everyone that. It's hard. I mean, I know they have the electric scanners, but I don't know. I don't know if that includes. Remember when The hockey game took place at Michigan, Michigan versus Michigan State in the Big House.
I do.
The attendance they announced to break the record included catering staff, included media, included all of that. And that's why it can go above. Like the stadium only has so many seats. So sometimes when you see sold out and then all of a sudden Ohio State comes in and suddenly they have 1,000 more people in attendance, it's because they've jam-packed it with anyone and everyone they can possibly find.
I don't like that. I think that's dishonest. I really do. I think that that's a dishonest way to do it. I had no idea that they were doing that. But, yeah, I've often wondered if, let's say it seats 110,000 and there's 114,000 at the game, where did those 4,000 people sit? On each other's laps? Well, of course, at Michigan Stadium, that's pretty much what you're doing anyway.
Yeah, you can actually, they don't have seats, they have benches, and you can squeeze together, but...
I'm telling you that Anthony and I and Dominic and one of Anthony's friends went to a Michigan game season before last. And we had, because of traffic, we got there towards the end of the first quarter. To get our asses in that on that bench, and of course I had a bigger one than everybody else, we were barely able to fit in there, and we were literally like sardines. And do you think people would move over just an inch or two? I was literally sitting at the end of the bench and sitting in the aisle. And do you think so? And I was told by the usher more than once, you need to sit in your row. Okay, tell the people that are sitting in my row to move over 2 inches each. It wasn't like I was trying to be a jerk about it. I can't believe how tight those seats are. Well, you're right. They're benches. They're not seats. But I will say this. What impressed me about the Big House is we did not have good seats, and you could still see everything perfectly.
Yeah, it's a really nice, nicely laid out stadium.
Oh,
but
yeah.
You know what? You're right. People will guard their inches on those benches. I mean, yeah. you basically have a number, and it's not even like there's lines where it's like, okay, yours ends here and ends there. You have a number, and that's it. So people will, guard as many inches as they can on those benches.
Oh, yes, that's for sure. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Feel free to join us as we work our way throughout the morning. You got to call us today because we're gone until a week from Monday. And I mean we're gone. Until a week from Monday, best of is what you're going to get. 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org. On Twitter, we're still looking for that elusive 8 to get to 600. Tony Truppiano, at Tony Truppiano. We'll take the break. We're up against it. We'll be right back.
First shift with Tony Truppiano.
We're going to run out of time, and I just want to ask, what specifically are you going to do to provide universal coverage to the 30 million people who are uninsured?
That is not the issue.
On 1310 WDTW.
But you don't think the 30 million people who are uninsured is an issue?
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Let's take a look at your traffic, and let me remind you that wet pavement is causing problems on your roadways, as you're about to hear. Let's head over to 75 southbound, just before West Road. We still have that accident in the construction zone. Also on southbound 75 at Dixie Highway, accident has your shoulder block, got one car in the left ditch. And also on eastbound 96 at Milford Road, accident has your right shoulder block. Also, we got traffic lights not working, so we're going to use some caution on Gratiot North and South at Wadhams Road. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 71 with thunderstorms scattered throughout the day. Tonight, a low of 60. Tomorrow, rainy and 75 degrees, and it's currently 64 outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio,
Collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members, a place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
Together we stand. Divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595.
This is First Shift with Tony Triano.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after the hour. I'm going to get in trouble with Anthony for this in big ways. But, Jeff, last night about quarter to midnight or so, sometimes Vinny doesn't sleep with us. That's the dog, of course. Last night was one of those nights that he didn't sleep with us. Sometimes, you know, he likes to crawl into his little crate, which is very, very comfortable. And he'll just chill there and he'll sleep there. Most of the time, though, he sleeps with us. Anyway, last night, when Ann went to bed, I'm assuming he was comfortably in his crate, so that's where she left him. Well, about quarter to midnight, he got me up. He was, you know, barking a little bit, and it was storming out. It was thundering, and he does not dig storms at all, as most dogs don't. Lots of animals have issues with thunderstorms, so I put him up in the bed with me. And, you know, got him to settle down. He was shaking like a leaf, the little guy. I felt so bad. So that was that. So about 1:30, I finally fell back asleep, and I'm assuming that he did as well. Finally about 1:30, he woke me up again because of the storms. And what he wanted me to do is he just really wanted me to hold him, which just broke my heart in the middle of the night. The poor thing was just shaken to death. I felt so bad. So I did until I had to get up because at that point. So I got up really early this morning because he was so out of sorts that up until the time. And by the time I got up, the thunder had stopped and he had just fallen back asleep when I had to get up. So I just got up. But I felt so bad for the little guy. I really did. Did your mom and dad's dog have an issue with storms?
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Yeah.
She goes insane. So,
but, you know, and I just, you know, it's not like they can control it. So there was no reason to get upset with the dog. I would have preferred to had slept through the night, but that's okay. It is what it is. I felt so bad for the little guy. And so I'm hoping that once I got up, because for the longest time, he would not lay down. He was just sitting straight up in the bed, and he was sitting next to me. I mean, I was laying down, obviously, but he was right next to me, and he was sitting straight up, and he wouldn't lay down. I was like, okay, dude, and he was shaking, and I was like, wow. I was surprised he didn't wake Ann up because he was shaking pretty hard, and it wasn't even storming that bad, but it doesn't take much. And I would bet a lot of people have that issue with their pets. So So yeah, I felt bad. I just how big is your mom and dad's dog? I don't think I've ever asked you that question.
23 pounds.
So that's smaller dog then.
The lap dog. Yeah.
Okay. So I don't know if the big dogs have those same issues. I just don't know. Because we used to have a husky, but she didn't have a problem with storms. In fact, she liked being outside so much we had to wrestle her to get her in the house. Didn't matter what the weather was. Vinny, on the other hand, although yesterday I was surprised because it rained pretty much all day, and every time he needed to go out, he actually went. Normally, if it's raining, as soon as he feels rain, he's like, nope, turns right back around and comes back in the house. But he didn't do it yesterday, which is probably a good thing. All right, let's move on to real business.
Real quickly, though, about the weather. Was it raining when you came in?
No, it was wet, but it wasn't raining.
Unreal. It was pouring at 4 in the morning, and the puddles on 12 Mile are just, at least they were. Hopefully they've drained, but I hydroplaned almost the whole way here. Took Miss Budweiser. That's what I drove on the way here. It was crazy, and we had just gotten done talking yesterday about how, you know, lake levels are so low, and you gotta pray for rain, and man, there's a ton of rain yesterday, and it's supposed to be all day today, too.
Right, and unfortunately, 2 days isn't going to be enough to help us in a bigger picture. I was happy to see, I have a sprinkler, so my lawn's not that bad, but my neighbor's lawns were all very brown, and I noticed over the last day and a half or so that they're not nearly as brown as they were. So that's a good thing. But yeah, the roads were very wet. And when I got up, I get up about 25 to 3, which is what time I get up every morning. And I could hear from my office, I could hear it raining outside. Now, when I went to take a shower, it had stopped raining at that point. Or if it was raining, it was just, you know, drizzling or whatever, but I couldn't hear the rain any longer. So that's sad. And yes, you're right. It is supposed to rain on and off. I think Anthony said, 73 and rain all day, chance of thunderstorms as well. So it's not a bad thing, although I don't think I'm going to get the grass cut before I take off for my trip this weekend. But that's okay. It'll be there when I get back, right? Okay, let's obviously the big story yesterday, and let's get to it so we can get the audio in before the break, is Thaddeus McCotter's staff. Four of the leading members of his staff are going to be charged. Let's listen to this from Fox 2.
This is a case of Thad McCotter being asleep at the switch. The congressman has resigned in disgrace. The district got stiffed. People got stiffed.
Attorney General Bill Schuette slamming former U.S. Representative Thaddeus McCotter, the politician from Livonia known for his sharp wit and sarcasm on Capitol Hill, as well as his musical talents on the guitar.
This is not frat boys go to Washington. It's not a garage band in D.C. You know, public service is about serving people.
Something Schuette says McCotter didn't do, as members of his campaign staff engaged in election fraud by submitting fake petition signatures to get McCotter's name on the ballot. Xeroxing, cutting and pasting from previous years, the fraud dating back as far as petitions from 2006. A part-time clerk at the Secretary of State's office noticed the sloppy petitions.
They copied petitions, submitted petitions falsely signed by circulators, and did cut and paste jobs that would make an elementary art teacher cringe. And in the end, Congressman McCotter is responsible for the conduct and the misconduct of those in his employ.
But he says there was no evidence McCotter himself committed a crime. Now charged, his deputy district director, 33-year-old Don Yao Chang, 47-year-old district director Paul Seawald, 58-year-old district representative Mary Melissa Turnbull, and 52-year-old Lorianne O'Brady, a McCotter employee. What's not clear is why, but the charges are serious, ranging from forgery and conspiracy to falsely signing election documents.
The motivation, frankly, is it's immaterial. The fact here is that former Congressman McCotter was asleep at the switch.
Actually, the motivation is not immaterial at all, but nobody was home when we went knocking on the defendant's doors. And nobody answered the door at the home of the former congressman, though he did release a statement thanking the attorney general for his investigation, saying for his family, quote, this closure commences our embrace of the enduring blessings of private life, end quote. The attorney general says it was a thorough investigation. They interviewed 75 people. They removed more than 700 documents from this former campaign headquarters in Plymouth. But they say there still may be more evidence of wrongdoing out there.
If we receive any new information, new evidence, if any of these charges that we filed today cause new evidence to occur, we won't hesitate for a moment to file charges.
In Detroit, Amy Lang, Fox 2 News.
All right, and I appreciate that, Amy Lang. Let's take a break here. We'll come back. We're going to discuss this in a little bit of detail. First of all, and I want to say this, not that I'm trying to make excuses for Thad McCotter, because he's the last person I would make excuses for. As a member of Congress, is it, yes, ultimately the responsibility of everything in your office rests with you. But folks, members of Congress are not making sure their petition signatures are accurate. That's not what they do. We'll come back and discuss it. 888-552-3595. Stay with us. First Shift continues right after this.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Taking a look at your traffic, we got a couple of new accidents on your ride. 696 westbound, just after 75, has your two left lanes blocked, and you got heavy traffic from Cousins Avenue. Over on the Jeffries eastbound, just before Livernois, accident has your right lane blocked, but there is a wrecker on the scene. Also, we're still watching an accident on 96 eastbound at Milford Road that has your right shoulder blocked. And don't forget about those traffic lights not working. Use some caution in the area of Gratiot in both directions at Wadhams Road. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Drive through your local McDonald's and try the new blueberry pomegranate smoothie. This healthy McCafe beverage is made with ripe blueberries, pomegranate juice, and creamy low-fat yogurt, and is only available for a limited time. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 71 with thunderstorms scattered throughout the day. Tonight, a low of 60. Tomorrow, rainy and 75 degrees, and it's currently 64 outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
This is D. Alexander Bullock. Join me and Tony Trippiano on August 25th at 12 noon for the Crusade for America Parent and Youth March. We march for an urban policy. We march for a war on poverty. We march to save democracy. We march to stop gun violence. Get active, get engaged, and get involved. For more information, like us on Facebook at Rainbow Push Detroit and follow us on Twitter at Rainbow Push MI.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Poor Alec just keeps bumbling, stumbling, and tumbling. You could feel sorry for such a hapless soul, except that this isn't a person, but the soulless Alec, the American Legislative Exchange Council. This secretive corporate front is behind hundreds of regressive and repressive bills that are being pushed through Republican-controlled state legislatures. Its bills and tactics are so venomous that 35 of Alec's brand-name corporate funders, from Amazon to Walmart, have withdrawn their names and money this year. But with the billionaire Koch brothers and others behind it, Alec will continue stumbling ahead with his far-right agenda. Condemning it is one thing, but what's really needed is a non-corporate, independent, above-board, overtly progressive alternative to Alec's special interest backroom conniving. A clean source of model legislation readily available for the consideration of local and state public officials and the public at large. Well, great news, folks. ALICE will soon arrive. The American Legislative and Issues Campaign Exchange, or ALICE, is not just a clever play on Alec's name, but an effective counter to its agenda and methods. Originated by Joel Rogers, one of Progressive America's most creative thinkers and doers, ALICE will offer a one-stop, web-based public library of about 1,000 model laws on a wide range of policy issues, complete with in-depth background materials. It's a nationwide cooperative effort that already has enlisted a couple of hundred professors, policy experts, students, lawyers, and others who are volunteering their brains, energy, and time to assemble a first-rate, easily accessible library open to all lawmakers, mayors, grassroots groups, media, and, well, everyone. This is Jim Hightower saying, if you'd like to help ALICE in some way, go to www.alicelaw.org.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at hightowerlowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us, at
Tony Truppiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truppiano page today.
Tweet. Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Now, time to punch back in.
This is a case of Thad McCotter being asleep at the switch. The congressman has resigned in disgrace. The district got stiffed. People got stiffed. This is not frat boys go to Washington. It's not a garage band in D.C. You know, public service is about serving people. They copied petitions, submitted petitions falsely signed by circulators, and did cut and paste jobs that would make an elementary art teacher cringe. And in the end, Congressman McCotter is responsible for the conduct and the misconduct of those in his employ.
That is Attorney General Bill Schuette, who also happens to be the subject of our poll question today on Facebook, where I asked the question, is he just power hungry? Even his opining during this press conference was what I thought a bit inappropriate. He's got a right to criticize, as anybody does, but I don't know that the venue was the appropriate place for him to do the criticism. He's supposed to be representing the law. He is the state's chief law enforcement officer. And I believe that he was judging before people have had a chance to defend themselves. But hey, you know, why, as Jeff said on Facebook yesterday, why let facts get in the way of a good story? Your thoughts on the Thad McCotter case, 888-552-3595. His characterization that the congressman was asleep at the wheel is and is not true. I think it's unrealistic to think that the congressman himself is double checking petition signatures and making sure that they're signed correctly and the addresses are there, etc. Although when I ran for Congress, I did do that. I was not a member of Congress at the time. I did not have the demands of travel and committee meetings and constituent meetings, etc. And so a little different situation. I would venture to guess that most people that run for office, in fact, let's use this as an example, Senator Stabenow, who needed something like 30,000 signatures. Do you think she really supervised the collection of all 30,000 of those signatures? No. You trust the people that you have on staff, whether that's your campaign staff or your regular staff, who, of course, would be barred from doing campaign work during taxpayer hours. That does not mean that they can't on their own time work on the campaign, because they certainly, and they should, and they can. With all that said, we don't know, and the biggest piece is we don't know why this happened. Now, I had said yesterday that there was some talk that one of the staffers had a massive gambling debt, and Bentolovio or somebody on his staff went to the McCotter person. Bottom line is, you know, we don't know that that's true or not. So, and maybe we'll find this out when they arraign them, although I doubt it. It'll probably have to wait for a trial, and I do believe that there will be a trial. I don't know. I'm just saying that it's this is a mess. It needs to be cleaned up. It is being cleaned up. It is going to be costly to the taxpayer. People keep on saying, well, this is unfair to the people of the 11th Congressional District because they have to pick up the tab for the election. No, we all pick up the tab for the election. The state-funded election comes out of all taxpayer dollars, not just taxpayer dollars out of the 11th. And Jeff's trying to write to me, so I have to stop and read. He says, if this was you and not McCotter, don't you react with more anger?
Doesn't it seem like he's like laid back, like, oh, you got me. Okay, well, now I'll slink away into the darkness, like, no problem. I mean, wouldn't you be like, whoa, you know, time out, time to... You know, go after these guys and I don't know.
Okay, we're talking Thad McCotter, who is not, there's nothing normal about this guy at all. You know, and it's fair to ask the question, if this guy is so odd, so eccentric, so out there, How did he get reelected so many times? And it's a great question because I get all the time, how did you not beat this guy? Right? It's a legitimate question.
Well, maybe that second point up there, it ties in.
And this says this happened in 08, too. Did it happen in 08? I didn't know that.
A story I read said this is it happened in an 08. They've copied and pasted in 08, and it just now. I mean, it got discovered by somebody who was flipping through and was like, wait a minute, these look copied. I mean, like, so if this has happened before, obviously.
Well, if
they
this
didn't
happened
care.
In 08 and it wasn't reported, then that's something that the Secretary of State's office needs to come clean on. Or are they saying that the signatures that were copy and pasted from 08? We'll seek clarification on that issue and report back. I don't know. McOtter's just such an odd duck, Jeff. So you know when we were listening to that audio and they were saying, you know, he released a statement and then you listen to the statement and you go, you know, we're encumbered by a process that. It's like, oh, my God, Thad, can't you just talk in English, plain English? Does everything have to be wrapped in a riddle or part of some soliloquy of an ancient archaic poem from the 14th century? He's just that weird. He truly is. Mr. Radford, he is that weird. So that might have been his anger statement for all I know.
Yeah, maybe. I find it odd. Like, I would be, you know, proclaiming my innocence and the fact that, you know, even, okay, fell asleep at the wheel. But like you said, 30,000 I'm supposed to go through personally. I mean, I guess
that would be stabbing on. And at the congressional level, it's 2,000 signatures.
So maybe it would take him less. But, even still, somebody who discovered this was flipping through, thumbing through real quickly, and was like, wait, this doesn't look right. So he must have never looked at him, or he knew and just thought, okay, I'm getting away with it.
No, I'm going to suggest he never knew. I'm going to suggest he never looked at them. And again, I'm not surprised that he didn't look at them. Maybe we can ask Congressman Peters when we have him on at 7:30, although that's not what we have him here for. But I would venture to guess that, again, you've got a campaign staff. You pay them. You trust them. And so there's an obligation. They have an obligation, of course, to be professional. Now, listen, McOtter's a really odd duck. And this might be, you know, we need to find out why this happened, right? I think that there's more to this story. There's a lot more to this story, and we don't know it all yet.
And I didn't have the audio, but apparently Schutte said yesterday, it appeared that McOtter staffers forged signatures in 2008 by simply copying their 2006 petition.
Okay.
So I don't have the audio, but I do have the story here.
All right. Well, that clarifies it, though. So that now we have clarification on that. And they may have gotten that through interviews. So that may be how that happened. On a color copier, Jeff, you can make copies of something that looks awfully authentic. I don't know. In a really good color copier, you can, with a scanner, you can really reproduce a document that looks just as good as the original, as I'm sure you're aware.
So then what did these guys use? Because Schutte in the audio says that a third grader would be offended by their copy and paste.
An elementary school art teacher.
Oh, yeah. Would be offended by their copy and paste job.
Right. So, which is, I'm criticizing him for saying that only because I don't think his opinion matters here. Bill Schutte is so full of himself. He truly is. And for those of you that are not aware of this, Bill Schutte wants to be governor in the worst way. He wants to be Rick Snyder in the worst way. There's no question that's true. So when he gets an opportunity like yesterday, he's going to take full advantage of it. He's the soundbite king. I'm sure he practiced that speech 20 times in the mirror at home while he was shaving yesterday morning, all giddy and gleeful. Oh, Bill Schutte, we're so proud of you. So it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out because it's really now the rest of the story is really the real story. Why would they do this? Is it simply a matter of revenge, retaliating about something? And what is that something? I believe I read that they interviewed 75 people, Jeff, throughout their investigation of this. And they are charging 10 people. They're of course focusing on the four with the biggest charges. Most of the six that they didn't mention In the television piece, I believe, are only one charge each of something called committing an illegal or a legal act illegally, which I thought was I'd never heard of that. I've never heard that before.
Can you commit an illegal act legally?
No. That's committing a legal act illegally. So I don't know. What would that be? How can you commit a legal act illegally? Well, I guess forgery would be... that would be illegal.
You can turn right on red, but there are ways you can not turn right on red legally. I know all too well that story.
Did you get a ticket for that once?
Yeah, apparently. At certain times you can turn right on red, but not all the time.
Is there a sign? Is there supposed to be a sign?
Yeah, there was a sign.
Ah, okay. All right. All right, well, that makes sense. I thought maybe there was some rule that I wasn't aware of. Like, no matter where you're at, between 6 and 9 o'clock in the morning, you can't turn on a red. But, okay, so I'm okay with that. All right, well, that's the Thad McCotter story. So we'll, of course, keep an eye on it. Dr. Syed Taj, of course, released a statement yesterday expressing his dismay over the situation. And we're going to get him on very soon after our vacation. Yes, after our vacation. All right, a quick break here. More to get to on the other side. If you want to join us, this is your chance to do it. 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org. Again, on Twitter at Tony Trupiano. A quick break. We'll be back and wrap up this hour right after we do this.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Well, the United States has a huge budget deficit, so taxes are going to have to go up. And I certainly agree they should go up more on the rich than everyone else. That's just justice.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy.
We make a difference when you give your voice.
What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Well, welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour, 10 minutes before 7 o'clock. We were told earlier this week tomorrow was supposed to actually be, or yesterday was supposed to be a big day. We were supposed to potentially hear who Mitt Romney's choice of vice president would be, if you'll recall. We talked about it earlier in the week. It didn't happen. Now, that list continues to float out there. We still don't have a definitive answer with the convention just a couple weeks away. How far in advance will they announce who the vice presidential choice is, and will that person do a national tour working their way up to the convention? That will give the Romney campaign a big bump, because that is, it's something new for us to focus on. It's like the shiny penny in the GOP. Look at the shiny penny. Mitt Romney has to decide. So let's take a look at this story from NBC News on who he's focusing on.
Now to the presidential campaign back home. Mitt Romney is expected to announce his choice of a running mate soon. Speculation, as you may know, is heated. Every word he says on the topic is being scrutinized. Our political director, Chief White House correspondent Chuck Todd, spoke exclusively to Governor Romney about it today.
What do you want your running mate to say about you? What do you want your selection to say about what kind of president you're going to be?
I don't think I have anything for you on the VP running mate, other than I certainly expect to have a person that has a strength of character, vision for the country, that adds something to the political discourse about the direction of the country. I mean, I happen to believe this is a defining election for America, that we're going to be voting for what kind of America we're going to have.
That's it. That's what we know. Although you noticed he didn't answer Chuck Todd's question, Jeff. He just avoided the question altogether, but that's okay.
It's good that he's looking for a vice president with a vision of the future, because his seems to be wavering.
Well, actually, his vision is of the past. Too closely aligned to Bush policies for my liking. And he's going to, of course, you know, that's the one thing. The next administration of a political party. So for Democrats, it would have been, and as it was, some of the Clinton administration folks end up in your White House. For the Romney camp, it'll be some of the Bush people. We don't want the Bush people. We saw what they did to our country, so we don't want them serving again. Thank you very, very much. 8 years of George Bush created what we're mired in right now. But yes, okay, go ahead, blame it on Obama if you want to. But we know the truth. We know the truth. I continue to be amazed. I just truly continue to be amazed at Mitt Romney's campaign is getting a lot wrong. One of the things is he could change the discussion by announcing the VP, and he would actually get 3 or 4 days out of it. So I don't know why he's not doing that. Newt Gingrich has been making the rounds of the last few days. He was on with Wolf Blitzer yesterday. Had this to say about recent charges of McCarthyism.
This is baloney, Wolf. And we've known each other a long time.
But tell me why it's baloney.
First of all, behind McCarthyism, there were real spies. People tend to forget this. There's a new book coming out on Reagan in Hollywood in the 40s. And the book
but there
is...
there were a lot of innocent people who suffered.
And there were a lot of guilty
of
people.
Baseless charges.
But there were a lot of guilty people who would never have been uncovered if some people didn't have the courage to take them on. I mean, there's a brand new book coming out on Reagan in Hollywood in the late 40s. And it is appalling, the number of hardcore communists that were working in the movie industry. There's been an enormous effort to rewrite history.
All right, and so Newt Gingrich continues to... Jeff and I were talking before the show, and Jeff makes a really good point. The minority of people that were spies, that were guilty of something, the Republican, the GOP, and we see this on our own Facebook page, it's always about the smallest common denominator. So... yes, there were, for every innocent person that was persecuted or prosecuted, there was, for every guilty person, for every spy, there were 10,000 that were not, but they were still treated the way they were treated. It's always about cleaning it up. What did the one guy say on Facebook yesterday, that even if you catch one example of voter fraud, it's worth it? Is that what it was, Jeff? Just one. That's all it takes is one, right?
Right.
So even if we inconvenience thousands of people in the process, if we catch one, it's worth it. I'm not so sure that's true. All right, let's, and we're running out of time already. I wanted to get to this earlier, and I just didn't, because I ended up talking about my dog. Not that I don't regret doing that. Mayor of Taylor, Jeffrey Lamoran, my understanding, Jeff, is that he has finally agreed to take the $8.1 million that the federal government was giving them to rehire 32 public safety, that would be firemen and policemen, in the city of Taylor. He has finally agreed to take that money, although he is still headed to court today. We'll talk about that in a second. He has agreed to take that federal dollar, those federal dollars, because the unions did give back some concessions with regard to vacation and overtime pay, which was his, of course, concern. And so that's that. So he has agreed to take that money. Now, again, I said he's got to go to court today. He is technically in contempt of court. So it's up to a judge today, Jeff, to decide whether or not to let it go. He might say, okay, well, thank you, Mr. Mayor, for accepting it. Even though you did it too late, I'm going to let it go. Or he may hold him in contempt and throw him in jail. I'm going to guess that's not going to happen, but I could be wrong. We'll wait and see what happens later on today.
Well, and as I'm on the website, Channel 4's website, the title of this article is Taylor Mayor Claims Big Victory. So it's already being spun like he, you know, raked the unions over the coals and got what he wanted.
Yeah, I don't understand why Channel 4's reporting it that way. But so whoever writes the headlines for them is probably an ass kisser. I don't know. I don't get it. There is one thing we forgot to mention in sports today. Can I have a drum roll? We don't have drum roll music. We need to get drum roll music. We do. The Detroit Lions play their preseason game, their first preseason game tonight, don't they?
Go Lions.
Okay.
Versus the Browns.
I'm excited about that. Actually, Anthony watched the Packers-Bills last night, I think is what he told me.
Said it was the Bears-Broncos run as well.
Ah.
Going back real quickly to the Lamoran story.
Yeah.
Chief Bob Tampos, how much credit does he deserve?
A lot.
It seems to me, credit, and at the same time, you're kind of like, well, what are you doing here? I mean, $1.2 million is what the concessions he offers up, I guess. And he says he's a citizen, he understands the concerns, and down the road, he's, you know, but he knew that it's to, you know, to save 34 laid off fireworkers' jobs, or firefighters' jobs, that's what he had to do, I guess.
Yeah, and let's give some credit to the union that was willing to give up the concessions to bring more of their union brothers and sisters back to work, because ultimately, that's what that does. It puts more people back to work. It makes Taylor a safer city to live in and to be in, and for that, we need to be grateful. So, Mayor Lamoran, if you want to go ahead and paint yourself as some kind of hero, do it, but we know the truth. That's all I'm saying. All right, we've got to take a break for the top of the hour, and we're going to do that when we come back, ladies and gentlemen. Zoe Lipman will join us from the National Wildlife Federation. We're also going to visit with Congressman Gary Peters, fresh off his victory Tuesday in the 14th Congressional District. We'll find out what his plans are for the general campaign. This is one of those situations where you can now help the under ticket. And I'm sure that he will. All right. We'll take a quick break here. We'll come back and continue to do this over the next couple of hours. Stay with us. This is First Shift, and you're listening to 1310 WDTW.
Continuous Traffic Watch.
Taking a look at your traffic, we got a couple of new accidents on your ride. 696 westbound, just after 75, has your two left lanes blocked, and you got heavy traffic from Cousins Avenue. Over on the Jeffrey eastbound, just before Livernois, accident has your right lane blocked, but there is a wrecker on the scene. And also, we're still watching an accident on 96 eastbound at Milford Road that has your right shoulder blocked. And don't forget about those traffic lights not working. Use some caution in the area of Gratiot in both directions at Wadhams Road. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 71 with thunderstorms scattered throughout the day. Tonight, a low of 60. Tomorrow, rainy and 75 degrees, and it's currently 64 outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now, NBC News with the latest.
NBC News Radio, I'm Dirk Van. New poll show President Obama extending his lead over Mitt Romney as both sides fire away at each other on the stump and in attack ads. NBC's Steve Handelsman.
Campaigning in Colorado, President Obama got good news on jobs. Fewer Americans applying for unemployment last week and more U.S. exports. He claimed he's been riding the ship.
Polls also show Mitt Romney solidifying his base. Thousands of mourners gather this morning in Oak Creek, Wisconsin, to pay their respects to the six worshippers gunned down by a white supremacist at their Sikh temple last Sunday. Concern about country great Randy Travis after his arrest following a car crash in Texas. Friends say the singer needs serious counseling. And the workers who keep the nation's infrastructure healthy suffer the worst personal health, according to a ranking of employees' well-being. Blue-collar workers in transportation, manufacturing, mining, and construction top the charts when it comes to health concerns. This is NBC News Radio. The Postal Service delivering more bad news, reporting losses of $57 million per day in the last quarter. Congress still hasn't approved a postal reform bill. At the Olympics, the U.S. stretching out its medal lead over China, now with 90 medals, 39 gold, including a gold for women's soccer as Team USA defeated Japan. NBC's Chris Jansen.
With the clock ticking down and chants of USA echoing through the record crowd of more than 80,000 in Wembley Stadium, redemption for the Americans, 2-1.
Coming up today, Taekwondo finals and rhythmic gymnastics. Plus, a more familiar sport, the U.S. Dream Team takes on Argentina in men's hoops. And mirror, mirror on the wall, and soon on the computer, Intel has developed a magic mirror that allows shoppers to see how they look in clothing without actually trying them on, just by standing in front of a computer monitor. Still 3 years away, but for Intel, innovation is always in fashion. I'm Dirk Van, NBC News Radio.
On my journey to help save people money on car insurance, people have been really surprised to learn that GEICO can also help with renter's insurance. They're even more surprised when I tell them it costs as little as $12 a month. But perhaps what's most surprising is that I still live with my mum. Yeah, I know, I really should start thinking about renting my own place. But then I'd have to get my own tea kettle, sofa, shower curtain, soap dish.
Visit GEICO.com to see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
Hey, this is Mike Rowe talking with Jim Twitchell, a real live Ford senior master technician. Can the work save me money on gas, yes or no?
Yes, by making sure that your car is in optimal running condition, you save yourself fuel.
Get the service you need and save money on gas. $29.95 or less after $10 mail-in rebate at your local Ford dealer.
Can you think of one good reason why somebody wouldn't bring their Ford to you for the work fuel saver package?
Honestly, Mike, no.
Up to 5 quarts oil, taxes, diesel, and disposal fees extra. Claim based on EPA averages. See your participating Ford dealer for rebate details through 83112.
The situation at JCPenney keeps getting worse. Its efforts to change from traditional sales to a low-price all-the-time strategy is not paying off as customers are staying away in droves. The chain says sales of stores open at least a year plunged 22% in the last quarter, its second straight quarter of severe losses. Penney also reported a worse-than-expected bottom-line loss of $147 million, down from a profit of $14 million a year ago. Keep an eye on shares of Nordstrom, though. The upscale retailer raising its annual profit and sales out. Outlook, it's also saying that it's accelerating the growth pace of its Rack outlet stores. Wherever you go, your wedding is going to cost you. Brides Magazine says the average couple has a nearly $27,000 wedding. While up there, it's actually down about $1,000 from the pre-recession peak. S&P stock futures are down 6 points now. NASDAQ down 8. Dow futures in the red by 51. Oil prices down more than $1, $92.24 a barrel. I'm Steve Potusk in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Jay with SafeLight Auto Glass.
We know you depend on your vehicle. So when you have auto glass damage, you need it fixed fast. SafeLight has more glass in stock than anyone. So when you schedule a replacement with SafeLight, we'll get you back on your way faster. Plus, our work is backed by the only national lifetime guarantee, keeping you covered anywhere.
Just tell your insurance company you want SafeLight or call 1-800-800-2727 or go to SafeLight.com.
SafeLight Repair, SafeLight Replace.
Hello, this is...
Bank. How can I help you?
Yeah, hi. My wife and I just had a baby, and I need to cash in my CD early.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank
Please
you.
Note, early withdrawal penalties do apply. Fees are up to but not restricted to 50% of the CD's value. All withdrawals...
We're not sure what some banks mean when they say, how can I help you? At Ally Bank, we offer a no-penalty CD that lets you withdraw all your money after the first week of funding and keep the interest earned with no penalties. That's how Ally helps. Ally Bank. No nonsense. Just people sense. Member FDIC.
Your first word probably wasn't something like finance, or savings, or ATM. But whatever that first word was, it opened up a world to you that was built on conversations. It's this exchange of ideas that Wells Fargo puts into practice every day, through listening, guiding, and planning. So when the conversation is about ways to grow your savings or your business, we'll be here to help you find the right answers. Because an open dialogue is what opens doors. Wells Fargo. Together we'll go far. Wells Fargo Bank N.A.
For a while now, Exxon and Mobil have been talking about clean. But what exactly does clean mean? Well, it means all Exxon and Mobil gasoline is specifically engineered to help remove harmful deposits. It means our gasoline helps clean your intake valves, your engine runs smoother, and reduce emissions. It even means it helps improve fuel economy. At Exxon and Mobil, clean means gasoline that works smarter for you. Learn more at fuelprogress.com. Exxon and Mobil. Think.
Never let it be said that when good men and women were challenged, that they didn't rise to the challenges that were presented. And that when met with resistance, they knew enough to come together. In solidarity and with purpose and pride, they forged their way to a new understanding of what success would require. They not only met the challenge, they redefined community. And that community was called First Shift with Tony Trujillo.
Welcome, everybody. 6 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Friday, the 10th day of August, 2012. And what a day it is. We've got a great hour of radio lined up for you. A little later on in the show today, we are going to be checking in with Congressman Gary Peters, fresh off his primary day victory on Tuesday. We now know that barring anything extremely unforeseen, as he's in an 80% plus Democratic district, he will cruise to a general election victory on November 6th and will be the new congressman for the new 14th congressional district here in the state of Michigan. And we'll check in with him and get his thoughts on that. Of course, one of the things about being in a safe seat is it gives you an opportunity to help other candidates, including the President of the United States, get reelected. I will remind you, Barack Obama did win Oakland County back in 2008, and that was a pretty nifty feat in and of itself. All right, you have all heard about the new fuel economy standards of 54.5 mile per gallon. And some people freaked out when they heard that. That's just unrealistic. It's going to cost jobs. It's it may be friendly for the environment, but it's not friendly to anybody else. Well, you know what? You base that on what? You base that on what? What you read, what you hear, or what you know. What you read and what you hear may not be the best sources. What you know is another question, but do you know what you know, and how do you know what you know? Oh, I'm not going to confuse you too much because we're going to turn to an expert now. Joining us is Zoe Lipman. Zoe is a senior manager for New Energy Solutions at the National Wildlife Federation and is here today to talk to us about the new fuel efficiency standards and what they are doing to prospective jobs. And Zoe joins us from Washington, D.C. Good morning and welcome to First Shift this morning.
Good morning. Thank you. Wonderful to be here.
You know, I remember so well, 54.5 miles per gallon, that's going to kill the auto industry, and it's going to ruin the jobs that are just starting to come back. Zoe, what are we doing?
Well, thank you for that introduction, because I think this is just the issue. Not only do we have these new standards coming out that will double the fuel economy that our cars get from roughly from where they are today, they'll mean huge savings for consumers, unprecedented cuts in oil use and in the pollution that causes climate change, but on top of that, they're forecast to build hundreds of thousands of new jobs. And There's a new study out that puts that number at about 500,000 new jobs throughout the economy as a result of the new new fuel economy standards. But we've just worked with several other groups to put out a report that looks at what's happening already and how fuel efficiency is helping build jobs today in Michigan and across the country. And to cut to the chase, since the the dark days of the recession in mid 2009, we've seen a quarter of a million new jobs built in the auto industry across the country. That's about 170,000 in auto and parts manufacturing, and the rest, 70,000 or so in the dealerships that are selling the new fuel efficient and advanced vehicles that your listeners are inventing, building, and selling right now, as well as in seeing on their driveways. In Michigan, that's been about 35,000 jobs over the last automotive jobs built in the last 2.5 years. That's about half of total job growth in the state.
Well, and not to mention the fact that the trend is that we're going to continue to see more hiring, as we know, and that's good. This one of the questions you have to ask yourself is when you set the bar as high as the administration has with this 54.5 mile per gallon, getting everybody on board can be next to impossible. How has, and I mean all the industries surrounding this, Zoe Lippman, how have they responded to this? Because you would think that, maybe the auto companies would be against it, or perhaps the union would be against it. Certainly environmental folks are not going to be against it. But is everybody on the same page here, or is there some infighting going on?
You know, I think you've hit on a great point. One of the things that you'd be the first to agree, we've all been working on these issues for decades, and as you know, these are not parties who have always agreed on what the auto industry should be doing, how we meet our environmental or economic goals. But and I would say that the impetus for these standards was, was as far back as the bipartisan 2007 energy bill. But coming out of that, I think we have to give credit to the administration, the Environmental Protection Agency, the National Highway and Traffic Safety Administration for doing the hard work to really bring parties together here, work with all the parties, whether that's industry, labor, workers, environmental groups, consumer groups, and develop a standard that really works to meet both our environmental and economic goals. And it has incredibly broad support. Not only have all the major automakers, environmental groups, consumer groups, labor come out in favor of these standards, and I think we saw really kind of moving testimony in Detroit back in January when public hearings were held on this standard. But it really shows that Americans can come together to solve our solve the big both environmental and economic problems that face us.
Well, you had mentioned the report. It can be found, by the way, at drivinggrowth.org, and we'll post that to our Facebook page for those of you that are driving, because I don't want you guys don't want you taking your hands off the wheel. Drivinggrowth.org is where you're going to find that report, and I think people will be, well, of course, the number one thing that comes out of that is how many jobs have already been created. But the benefits of raising the fuel efficiency standards really are exponential in so many ways, Zoe Lippman, that this is going to continue to be a good news story for the unforeseen future. I don't know that everybody expected that the impact would be so immediate, but we do now know that that it's working, and that's the important thing.
Absolutely. And, if folks do go to drivinggrowth.org, you can see a whole set of you find in one place stories from across, not just New Michigan, but across the region, across the country, about what real companies are doing in this space. And I would say that, you know, there's a couple things I'd really mention here. You know, one thing is that people, and it gets to the issue that you're raising about how is it that this goes from what started, you know, maybe as a discussion about recovery of a few companies and really turned into something much bigger about the transformation and revitalization of a whole industry. Because people often think, well, we're going to get to these high fuel economy standards. That just means, you know, the most advanced technologies, hybrids, electrics, and absolutely does mean that. But even more importantly, the bulk of getting from here to there is going to be innovation in our traditional internal combustion engine cars and trucks. These standards ensure that fuel economy benefits happen in all of our vehicles, all sizes and types of vehicles. And so we're seeing improvements to to engines and components, to traditional powertrain, to a whole set of materials, new steel. We've got a company up in Saginaw building electric power steering that's going to go into the bulk of America's full-size trucks. People don't think of things like that as improving fuel economy. Absolutely they do. And it means, innovation in companies across the automotive supply chain. And I think that's why we're seeing, job growth in the auto industry outpacing the recovery in the economy as a whole. It's not just a few big assembly companies, though. Obviously, we're seeing really exciting stories in those plants as well. But the whole supply chain and really the base of our manufacturing infrastructure in the country being revived.
Well, just to let people know that the website drivinggrowth.org will track the revitalization of the U.S. auto industry. So this is something you're going to want to bookmark and go back to over and over and over again. We've only got about 45 seconds left, Zoe. The National Wildlife Federation, their interest in this topic is, I think, obvious. But for those that don't get it, what is the interest?
Well, absolutely. I mean, we really, we are obviously a wildlife organization. We look to, in Michigan and across the country, a future in which people can enjoy their natural resource heritage and their economic heritage together. And investments and innovation in clean energy technologies like the clean and advanced vehicle transformation we're seeing here is absolutely critical to ensuring that we protect the future of our air, our water, combat climate change, all things that matter to preserving wildlife.
Absolutely. And Zoe, we're just out of time. Thank you so much. We'll check in with you again and again. And good news for everybody, drivinggrowth.org. We'll be right back.
First Chick with Tony Trubiano.
Well, I think you hit a reset button for the fall campaign. Everything changes. It's almost like an Etch-A-Sketch. You can kind of shake it up and we start all over again.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Out to your roadways, and we're still watching that one big problem on 696 westbound, just after 75, where you had that accident that has your left two lanes blocked, and traffic is now stopped from Mound Road. But police, fire, and EMS are on the scene. And we have traffic lights not working, so please treat that as a four-way stop on Gratiot, north and south at Wadhams Road. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 71 with thunderstorms scattered throughout the day. Tonight, a low of 60. Tomorrow, rainy and 75 degrees, and it's currently 64 outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting for you now.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women who put in a hard day's work every day. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
If you are just joining us at 22 minutes after 7 o'clock, we announced just before the top of the hour that Taylor Mayor Jeffrey Lamorand has agreed, wisely agreed, after a lot of political grandstanding, to take the $8.1 million in federal funds after the unions agreed to take some concessions, because it's always about give, give, give in Jeff Lamorand's world, because he's always willing to take, take, take. He is still headed to court today, but let's listen to some audio. This is from WDIV.
What did you tell your wife when you left the house? That maybe you won't be back today? You may have to go to jail.
Well, I did tell her to be back this morning after we get done with the interview, so I'll get a little bit of time back in there as we go through the morning. So, but, you know, we'll see. Unfortunately, you know, it is part of the process, and you know, we've tried to be firm and stand, you know, committed. We think I feel that we've stayed committed to the Taylor taxpayers and the residents to make this decision, not only based on the sentiment and the feeling of you know, bringing back firefighters and overall concern. We know that there are, you know, concerns. People have concerns over safety and the response times and everything else. But we also have to have concerns over the fiscal responsibility. And we can't just, you know, throw caution to the wind and say, oh, this is great, let's take $8.1 million because nothing's free. And it's you know, there's still some recourse. Not to mention, again, things have changed dramatically with us in our call volume. We've got a private provider that's giving us EMS service. We've got 5 calls a month coming in for fire-related activity. Right. We're going to have to find some extra activities or different things to do. We feel that we can put these grant funds to use in a format that will allow the best use of $8 million over 2 years.
I don't even know what that means, but certainly this is a story that we're going to continue to follow. He does have a responsibility, but not just a fiduciary responsibility. He has a safety responsibility to the citizens of Taylor. And this would fulfill that responsibility by making sure that more police and more firefighters go back to work. I wouldn't care if they got one fire call or no fire calls a month. I want to know that if there's a fire, they can respond to it. Period. That's what I want to know. And not only they can respond to it, that they can respond to it properly and they can respond to it efficiently, can they respond to it professionally. That's what I'm concerned about. Ultimately, that's what I'm very concerned about. So if they don't get one call or they get 100 calls a month, matters not to me. I want to know that if they get that call, once that call comes in, how are they going to react? And they need to be able to do that in a professional and steadfast way. Now they will once again be able to do that. They were not able to before.
Isn't the timing of the concessions kind of, I mean, it's very, very good for Lamoran, because now he can go to court and basically, he's facing, the charge, but he's not necessarily still standing, like, I'm going to jail, dang it, because I'm this kind of guy. Hey, if you didn't like him, wouldn't you say, okay, we'll hold off on the concessions until after the court date and see what happens then?
I'm not quite sure what the time and how the timing all fell out on this. I don't know if these conversations, these concession talks were ongoing before they knew what the court date would be. I don't know when he ended up in contempt of court, so I just need to be honest about that. So the timing might be coincidental. It might be very well orchestrated. I just don't have the answer to that, Jeff. But you had said earlier we need to thank the police chief. I'm sorry, the fire chief and the union, as you said, for doing the right thing, stepping up, taking the concessions where they needed to take the concessions by allowing more of their brothers and sisters to come back to work, because ultimately that's what they end up doing. But let me ask you this question. They're saving $1.2 million as a result of the concessions. But let me ask this question. If I were to ask you, and let's say you had $1.2 million to invest, if I were to ask you to invest that, and in return, I would be able to give back to you $8.2 million, would you not make that investment? I could guarantee you that.
Right.
Would you not make that investment?
Yeah.
Okay. So why wouldn't he make the investment? That's the question we need to ask ourselves. That $1.2 million that he claims they don't have, and maybe they don't have it, Jeff. Maybe they truly don't have it. Oh, my, oh, my. I'm just saying, if the investment returns you $8 for every one you spend, you make the investment. It's that simple. But apparently it's not that simple for Jeff Lamoran. And I'm not going to make any personal comments about what he said to his wife when he left this morning. I'll just leave that to myself. That's all. That's all I'm going to say on that. So for the people of Troy, God bless the people of Troy. They got Janice Daniels. Man, we got a lot of whacked out mayors in Southeast Michigan, do we not? Sweet Jesus. And I don't know if Lamoran is technically, I think he's technically a Democrat, but he certainly doesn't act like one. I think that they are a nonpartisan. They are a nonpartisan community. But I could be wrong. I could be very wrong on that. But for the people of Taylor, congratulations on your mayor finally doing the right thing, even though the political grandstanding got him all the press. I'm sure that he was, and I told you yesterday, this guy loves the media. So this morning when he was sitting live with WDIV, Sean Lay, right in some restaurant in Taylor, he couldn't have been happier about it. Jeff loves publicity. I'm going to reach out to him during the break and ask him to join us when we return from our vacation and see if he'll do that, because I'd like to pick his brain a little bit. I remind you, he was my two of my three children's government teacher. He actually sent some of his high school students. Anthony, what were you, a senior or junior the year that you came and worked on my campaign?
Sophomore.
Sophomore, okay. So what? That wasn't a government class. Were you taking government as a sophomore?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Anyway, he did have some of the kids from the class come work on my congressional campaign for extra credit. So I'll give him that. I just, folks, this guy's just bad news. I mean, he's just bad news. But I'm ultimately he does the right thing, and so I'm pleased about that in a big, big way. The city of Taylor deserved that $8.1 million in federal grant. And I asked the simple question because I think it's a legitimate question. If you're being asked to invest $1.2 million to get $8.1 million, would you not do it? And the question to that, the answer to that question has to be yes. So congratulations to Chief Bob Tompos and the citizens of Taylor for Mayor Lamoran doing the right thing. All right, we're going to take a very quick break here. And when we return, a very victorious Congressman Gary Peters joins us. I reached out to his communications staff on Wednesday and asked if the congressman would give us a few minutes of his time so that we could thank him for his hard work. And I'm sure he's got a thank you or two in his back pocket for you as well. It was a good night for Congressman Peters. And frankly, it was a good night for the 14th Congressional District. They're going to end up with a top-notch. In fact, they did end up with a top-notch candidate and eventual congressman for that district. A very quick break here. We'll come back and talk to the congressman right after this break.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your traffic, and we're still waiting for that accident to clear on 696 westbound just after 75. Has your left two lanes locked and heavy stop-and-go traffic from Van Dyke. Also, we got those traffic lights not working on Gratiot North and South at Wadhams Road. And also, we got some construction coming up tonight, 696 both directions west of Van Dyke. And also more construction this Saturday for 375 both directions between Jefferson Avenue and 75. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 71 with thunderstorms scattered throughout the day. Tonight, a low of 60. Tomorrow, rainy and 75 degrees, and it's currently 64 outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. Thousands of workers and union members are expected to gather in Philadelphia Saturday, August 11th for the Workers Stand for America rally. A second Bill of Rights campaign, a Workers' Bill of Rights, will be launched with a signing ceremony in Philadelphia. AFL-CIO President Rich Trumka.
This is not a union Bill of Rights. And our campaign and our rally on August 11th is not just for union members. As the largest body of organized working people in America, the labor movement is leading the way. But we invite all who share our goals and our values, to sign on in support of America's second Bill of Rights.
IBEW President Ed Hill says the original idea was to have a workers' summit August 11th in Philadelphia because working people's issues are being ignored.
It would be difficult to have a big rally and then turn around and have a summit, gather everybody together at hotels and places like that. So we just decided to have a huge rally to call attention to the fact that working men and women's issues are really being ignored.
Teamsters President Jim Hoffa says at least 1,000 Teamsters will also be at Saturday's rally.
Yes, we're supporting that effort. Bill Hamilton, as head of our joint council, will be there. We're going to have many Teamster trucks. We've organized and alerted many of our people to be there.
The squeeze on workers by corporations wringing more productivity out of us is continuing, but somehow we're managing to spend a little less time working. Jesse Russell reports.
Companies are still managing to squeeze more out of their current workforce, but not that much. Productivity was up by 1.6% this spring, which reversed a slight productivity decline of 0.5% in the first quarter of 2012. The increase is still considered low in corporate standards. Traditionally, productivity has grown by 2.2% year over year on average, and that's since the Labor Department started keeping track more than 50 years ago. When productivity slows, that's typically when employers need to start bringing on board more workers. Workers' increasing productivity is one of the factors that keeps the unemployment rate from moving. If productivity stays slow, the unemployment rate will likely start to drop as employers start bringing on additional workers.
Perhaps not surprisingly, a new Gallup poll shows that blue-collar workers are more likely to have poor health. The study found that 37% of transportation workers are obese, with 33% of mining and construction workers being most likely to smoke. This newscast made possible in part thanks to underwriting from the OPEIU, Office and Professional Employees International Union. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us, like us,
love us. At Tony Truppiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truppiano page today.
Tweet.
First word.
First thoughts.
First with the news and newsmakers that matter to you.
First Shift on 1310 WDTW with Tony Truppiano.
And welcome back. 35 minutes after 7 o'clock. Certainly one of the newsmakers that matters to you is my next guest. Joining us now after an exhausting campaign. And folks, I can tell you, having run just once for Congress, and I didn't know what the hell I was doing, so it was a little more exhausting for me, is a victorious Congressman Gary Peters, who, all things being equal, we do need to get through the general, but everything I think is pointing in his direction, the new congressman for the new 14th Congressional District, Congressman Gary Peters. Congressman, it's a pleasure to have you on the show today.
Well, Tony, it's always a pleasure to be with you. Thank you.
Well, I certainly reached out to your staff on Wednesday morning and asked for just a few minutes of your time today. I would imagine that you're tired, Congressman. You worked very hard over the last year, knowing the task that was in front of you. I'm sure that you would like to say a few words to your opponents in this race, because I know that they ran a very good race.
Well, they did, and I think that's the important thing, is that everybody that was in this race for the 14th District cares about the greater Detroit area, and everybody cares about the future of the city of Detroit and all the communities that surround it. But unfortunately, there can only be one person that wins, but I certainly want to say thank you to everybody who ran, and certainly hope that they'll be part of what we need to do to go forward. You know, our campaign was really themed We Are One, that we are communities that all have to come together as one in order to grapple with the issues that we have here in the greater Detroit area. And that's going to take everybody involved. And I certainly hope that everybody who ran for this office will continue to be actively engaged in the community. And I'm sure they will, and I welcome their input into all of that.
Well, you know, listen, you don't do this alone. And everybody knows that you had an amazing staff. I of course, watched from a little bit of a distance, but got up close a couple times. Again, no one gets elected to a district-wide office like this by themselves, and I'm sure you're very pleased with the staff that you put together, and more importantly, the work that they were able to accomplish.
Well, you're right about that, Tony. It takes a lot of people, a lot of committed folks, not only the staff, but lots of volunteers. We had hundreds of volunteers that were involved in the effort, and very committed to the mission. And I also have to say that I really want to thank men and women from organized labor. I was blessed to have the endorsement of every major union here in the state of Michigan and the greater Detroit area, and they were just fantastic. Helped particularly in those last few days leading up to Election Day. We had folks from labor all across the city of Detroit come out and help, and that makes a difference. You can't win this thing alone. You need help from a lot of great people, and certainly I was blessed to have great staff, great volunteers, and great support from organized labor.
You know, Congressman, we take a look at the racial makeup of the new 14th Congressional District, and I don't know that there is a district more diverse than the 14th. You, of course, had to appeal, and there was a great article in Roll Call about 3 weeks ago where you had spent some time on a Sunday morning speaking at a church, and that church was filled with African Americans. and they were resonating with your message. What do you attribute that accessibility factor? I mean, you seem to be able to touch people of any background. And that's not, Congressman, that's not the easiest thing in the world to do. Let's be honest about that.
Well, I take the job of being a representative very seriously. And the only way that you can be a representative, in my mind, is you have to be out in the community. You have to be accessible to everybody and willing to engage in a conversation. And more importantly, listen to people in the district. That's what a representative does, is you have to do more listening than talking, and then be a very forceful advocate for the concerns that you hear in the district when I go to Washington, D.C. And so, I spent a lot of time in the district. When I wasn't in Washington, D.C., for example, just about every day that I was back here in Michigan, I spent a good portion of that day, if not the entire day, in the city of Detroit, which is, of course, a key part of the 14th District. It represents half of this district as the city of Detroit, and I've always been a passionate advocate for the fact that you cannot have a greater Detroit area without a strong and vibrant city of Detroit in the center of that greater Detroit area. And so I spent a great deal of time not only in churches but in community groups and going door to door and just being available. And that's something that doesn't stop when the election stops. It continues throughout my term. It's the same thing that I did in the current 9th District, which I currently represent. The only reason I was able to win initially and become the first Democrat since 1893 to hold the seat and hold the seat in a very tough re-election in 2010 when most Democrats all across the country who are in similar districts lost was because you have to be out in the community. You have to be out there willing to talk to folks and, more importantly, willing to listen.
Well, and you need to be accessible, and certainly Congressman Gary Peters, you are accessible. That's the one thing that nobody can take away from you. If they need you, they get you, and not everybody is that accessible. In fact, I'll save that the second part of that for another time. But so I would agree that is a big part of why this happened for you. Now, listen, we take nothing for granted. You will run a general election campaign, but you are in a district that is predominantly Democrat. This gives you an opportunity to help others. And do you see yourself getting involved in some other campaigns?
Oh, I definitely will. This is about a team effort. It only works if we all are able to be successful and core democratic values that we all believe in very passionately. We've got to have the whole team at all levels of government. So I certainly expect to be helping Kevin and also be helping some of my other colleagues who are running for Congress here in the state of Michigan. We got Gary McDowell up in the northern part of Michigan. We've got Dr. Taj here locally, Steve Pesca over on the west side of the state. We've got some great Democratic candidates that are going to be running against the Republicans and have a very real shot at winning, and we have to win. We have to certainly make sure we reelect our president, President Barack Obama, but he can only be effective if he's got a full team in Congress, so we're going to be working at that, but I'll also be working with our local candidates as well.
Yeah, I mentioned earlier that I had a feeling that one of your priorities was going to be the president. You have a fairly exceptional relationship with him, Congressman Gary Peters, and I don't know that the audience, although you've mentioned it many times on this program, I don't think the audience understands the special relationship you and the president have, and that's a wonderful thing for those of us that live in Michigan, especially in southeast Michigan. Another thing that happens is every time money is brought into a congressional district, whether it's the 9th or the 11th, whether it's the 15th or whether it's the 14th, that helps the entire area. It doesn't just help that congressional district. And so that you have that relationship, that special relationship with the White House, really does benefit the entire region, not just your district.
Well, I think that's an important point, Tony, is that as we're bringing resources in and dealing with the issues, it really is the entire region. And the district, in some ways, are just imaginary lines on a map. Really, our area is the greater Detroit area. We are all interconnected, and that's why that was the theme of our campaign, that we are one. We really are one here in the greater Detroit region. We've got to work together to bring resources to solve problems, and we all benefit from that, even though it may not be in your particular community. The fact that it's in the community right next to you does make a difference, and it all builds and builds a stronger region.
All right,
I think you see the success of the DIA millage, for example. You know, here is a cultural resource in the city of Detroit, but the whole region stepped up and said, we are all going to support this because we know that we all benefit from it.
Yeah, no question. A couple more quick questions, and then we'll let you go. The first one is pretty darn simple. Please tell me you're going to take a little time to spend with your family, maybe take a little vacation before you head back to D.C.?
We are, yeah, definitely. We're taking a little bit of time off. Get reacquainted with my beautiful daughters. So I'm looking forward to doing that, and we'll be back. And then, of course, we've got the Democratic National Convention at the beginning of September, and then back to Washington.
Well, we hope that if you're there, we will be there as well. The show is going to be in Charlotte, and we're hoping that we can get you while we're there. Last but not least, of course, you have at least read, if you did not watch, Attorney General Bill Schuette's press conference yesterday regarding your former colleague Thaddeus McCotter. I did have to take exception with his characterization. I realize that Thad's a very eclectic guy. I get all that. But, Congressman, this idea that you are going to be hand-holding your campaign staff while they're getting petition signatures is just ridiculous. That he would paint it the way he did, I thought was a little unfair to the former congressman. Can I get your thoughts on that?
As far as his responsibility for it, I'm
yeah, sorry. I mean, ultimately he's responsible for that. I'll get with that, but to expect that Congressman, you were looking at every signature that your staff got, I think is a little unfair to former Congressman Cotter.
Well, you do have to rely on folks, and you have to have people who you trust. In fact, you mentioned that earlier in the interview here. You're only as good as the staff that you have around you who are out there working, and you certainly hope that you've got good people in those places, but you can't watch them every single minute of the day, which is why it's so important that you hire folks that you believe have high integrity and care about what they're doing and will do the right job, but there's no guarantee they will do that, obviously.
Well, I want to thank you for all of the time you gave us during the campaign, because that was important. We pride ourselves on bringing good people to the show, people that make a difference in our lives. You certainly are one of them, and we will look forward to working closely with you up to the general election and beyond as you continue to deliver for the people of Southeast Michigan and more specifically the 14th Congressional District. Congressman Gary Peters, thank you for your time today.
Tony, always a pleasure to be with you. I look forward to being on your program again soon. Thank you so
very
much.
Good. Very good. And, yes, I'm glad to hear that he's going to take some time off. As we are, folks, after the show's over today, it begins our vacation. Congressman Gary Peters, and congratulations to him once again. We're going to take a quick break. If you care to join us, we've got a little time for open lines on the other side. 888-552-3595, tony@thetonyshow.org. We'll take the break. We'll continue with First Shift right after we do this quick break.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
Governor Romney took a leave of absence from his company to go save the Olympics. And he ended up not going back at all and retired retroactively to February of 1999.
On 1310 WDTW.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
Recently on First Shift.
As I'm sure many of you know, Mitt Romney was in London.
Do they look ready to your experienced eye? There are a few things that were disconcerting.
The Prime Minister shoots back.
We are holding an Olympic Games in one of the busiest, most active, bustling cities anywhere in the world. I mean, of course, it's easier if you hold an Olympic Games in the middle of nowhere.
Finance Mayor Boris Johnson.
There's a guy called Mitt Romney. He wants to know whether we're ready. Are we ready?
They are definitely ready.
Fox News' Charles Krauthammer.
What Romney answered in that question is unbelievable. It's beyond human understanding. It's incomprehensible. I'm out of adjectives.
The first of what promises to be a gap-filled trip.
He appears to forget the name of the Labor Party leader he is meeting with. The awkward boomeranging praise for the socialized health care service. Almost starting a war with Iran and saying Palestinians are poor because of their inferior culture.
First Chip with Tony Trippiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Show some respect. This is a holy site.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
This is D. Alexander Bullock. Join me and Tony Trippiano on August 25th at 12 noon for the Crusade for America Parent and Youth March. We march for an urban policy. We march for a war on poverty. We march to save democracy. We march to stop gun violence. Get active, get engaged, and get involved. For more information, like us on Facebook at Rainbow Push Detroit and follow us on Twitter at Rainbow Push MI.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show. Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595. Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
10 minutes before the top of the hour as we prepare for State Representative Harvey Santana, who I'm sure will be as animated as he's ever been. A very successful primary day on Tuesday for him. Not to mention that every one of the candidates he was personally helping won on Tuesday. I'm sure he'll have something to say about that as well. A little earlier on in the show, we played a soundbite from Newt Gingrich. Do you happen to, Jeff, have that soundbite handy? I'd like to replay that before I read my next email.
This is baloney. Wolf. And we've known each other a long time.
But tell me why it's baloney.
First of all, behind McCarthyism, there were real spies. People tend to forget this. There's a new book coming out on Reagan in Hollywood in the 40s. And the book
there were a lot of innocent people who suffered.
And there were a lot of guilty people.
Baseless charges.
But there were a lot of guilty people who would never have been uncovered if some people didn't have the courage to take them on. I mean, there's a brand new book coming out on Reagan in Hollywood in the late 40s. And it is appalling, the number of hardcore communists that were working in the movie industry. There's been an enormous effort to rewrite history.
All right. Now, Pamela sends me this email. It says, read about the Hollywood 10 and HUAC, which is the House Committee on Un-American Activities, in the 40s. First, it was years before McCarthy in the Senate. And second, they were parlor pinks. They may have been parlor punks, I think is what she meant to say. They may have been party members, but there wasn't a bit of difference they made by talking politics at dinner parties. No spies were ever found in Hollywood. But a group of Jewish men who had their lives ruined by power-hungry Republican members of the U.S. And California State House of Representatives. Pamela, does this sound a little familiar to you? I want to, again, read the no spies were ever found in Hollywood, but, listen, folks, but a group of Jewish men had their lives ruined by power-hungry Republican members of the U.S. and California State House of Representatives. I underscore that last piece of her email because we could change that to, instead of a group of Jewish men, how about a black president who had his life ruined by power-hungry Republicans? I don't need to repeat it again, do I? I don't think so. You see, when Republicans are threatened, they become very racist, or they become very biased. Say it any way you want. They're unethical as all get out. And they know it. And we know it. And we can enumerate it over and over and over again. There are too many examples. So the bottom line, and the way I'm feeling about Newt Gingrich's comment, and I got to go back to what Jeff said to me before the show. I mentioned this earlier on, but I'll say it again. And it just makes sense. They go after the smallest common denominator and make it sound, and because they all grasp onto it, whether it's Rush Limbaugh or it's Fox News or Laura Ingraham or Sean Hannity or Sarah Palin, whoever, they all hold on to these minority arguments as if they truly exist. And when I say minority arguments, I mean small, zero impact arguments. And they repeat them until they become part of the American dialect. And what's sadly true about that statement is that the American people really are gullible for anything they hear, and they, unless it's coming from the liberal media, then they don't trust the lamestream media. Sarah Palin is already so old and antiquated. She is so not an issue at this point. She's an embarrassment. In fact, she's a national embarrassment, as she should be. So take that for what it's worth. I was looking at a Fox News website yesterday. Jeff had sent me a story. And so I went over to look at it, and I did, and the headline was really biased. Doesn't matter what it was about. It was biased. And I thought, you know, just for poops and grins, I'm going to just kind of poke around the Fox News website. Whoever writes their headlines is probably paid fairly handsomely to misrepresent what stories are about, because the headlines rarely, if ever, represented the meat of a story. Now, what was interesting about it is the story in and of themselves, 85% of the time, were fairly accurate. The headlines, though, did not reflect what the stories were about. They were sensationally written, or they were improperly identifying what the story was about, which I'm sure that anybody that does any research on any level at news sites gets a little frustrated with. I sometimes have that problem even with our own Detroit Free Press. I'll look at, that's why you have to read beyond the headline. Folks, I can't emphasize that enough. If you're only reading headlines, you are so cheating yourself out of an education. Because oftentimes the article is fairly fundamentally sound. Now, you need to understand that the reporter doesn't write their own headlines. Well, I'm sure that they do sometimes. But there's actually, it's either done by an editor, or they have somebody that's all they do, a copy editor that writes headlines. That's all they do is write headlines. And that really is the way it works. But this idea that McCarthyism, as Jeff said, was much ado about nothing. Joe McCarthy, of course, made quite a historical name for himself, but there was no justification for what he did, because there were so few people that were legitimately prosecuted, and how many innocent people were harmed in the process. And this goes back to, again, something that we talked about earlier on in the show today, where there was a guy on the webs on the Facebook page yesterday talking about a very small one or two person issue and making it sound. And what he basically said was, if we catch one instance, and Jeff, if I get this wrong, you'll correct me. If we catch one instance of voter fraud, then we've done a good thing. But in the process, how many people are harmed? Innocent people are inconvenienced in the process of catching that one. And I'm going to go back to that old tire line I've been using a lot lately. We are more likely to be either attacked by a shark or to see a UFO than to ever experience election fraud. Those aren't my words. All right? So if that's the likelihood of actually experiencing or seeing election fraud, why would we put any resource? Now, you need to have laws in place. I don't disagree with that. But this is ridiculous. This assertion that we need to create citizenship boxes to be checked off and mandatory ID is just absolutely ridiculous.
Have you seen what's going on in Ohio?
Be more specific than that.
The fact that they are in Republican counties are extending the deadline to vote.
Yeah, you sent that to me yesterday. Tell this story because it is sensational.
I think it's for, I don't even know why. I can't explain it because it's unexplainable.
There was no explanation.
Yeah, in counties that vote 2-1 Republican, they're extending the time that you have to vote. But in counties that lean Democratic, in Ohio, they have less time to vote.
9-5. It's the absolute truth. That one, there was no explanation or justification for it. It's really bizarre. All right, we're going to take a quick break. State Representative Harvey Santana on the other side. We always enjoy talking to him. Joe DeSano is off this week. He is taking his vacation, which he has a right to do, as we all do, because we're just about an hour away from ours, and we are all chomping at the bit. But I promise you we're going to give you a great hour of radio coming up, so don't you go anywhere. This is First Shift. I am Tony Trupiano, and you are listening to 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your traffic, and we're still waiting for that accident to clear on 696 westbound just after 75. Has your left two lanes blocked and heavy stop-and-go traffic from Van Dyke. Also, we got those traffic lights not working on Gratiot North and South at Wadhams Road. And also, we got some construction coming up tonight, 696 both directions west of Van Dyke. And also more construction this Saturday for 375 both directions between Jefferson Avenue and 75. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 71 with thunderstorms scattered throughout the day. Tonight, a low of 60. Tomorrow, rainy and 75 degrees, and it's currently 64 outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
If you missed today's first shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9 right here on 1310 WDTW. Dearborn, Detroit. NBC News is next.
NBC News Radio, I'm Jim Iklaszewski. Record-breaking performances at the London Olympics, led by a Jamaican who has cemented his legacy as the world's fastest human. NBC's Chris Jansen.
In a race for the ages, Usain Bolt exploded into the lead of the 200 meters and became a legend. No Olympic sprinter had ever repeated in both the 100 and 200.
Meantime, the U.S. women's water polo and soccer teams are celebrating their gold medals this morning, while the men's basketball dream team prepares for the semifinals against Argentina. A solemn day in Oak Creek, Wisconsin, as mourners from across the country gather for a public wake for the six worshippers gunned down by a white supremacist last Sunday. And the Mars rover Curiosity really did land on Mars, according to NASA. Thing is, Curiosity's landing base looks a lot like the Mojave Desert, prompting project scientist John Grotzinger to say, "You'll be forgiven for thinking that NASA was trying to pull a fast one." This is NBC News Radio. In Afghanistan, another attack on coalition troops by the Afghan soldiers, their training. The military says a man in an Afghan army uniform shot and killed three American service members. It's the third such attack this week. Google this. The internet giant has been slapped with a record $22.5 million fine to settle allegations it ran afoul of privacy pledges. NBC's Chris Clackham.
FTC regulators say Google used cookies to monitor Safari browser users on iPhones, iPads, and Macs, even though those users had turned on Apple privacy features.
Google earns billions from internet advertising, a lot of it made possible by tracking information. And the latest problem, blamed on the drought, may be hard to bear. Black bears have taken a rummaging for food in Old Forge, New York. Scores of homeowners reporting encounters with the big beasts who've seen their normal diet of greens and berries shriveled up by the summer heat. I'm Jim Iklaszewski, NBC News Radio.
Jay with SafeLight Auto Glass.
We know you depend on your vehicle. So when you have auto glass damage, you need it fixed fast. SafeLight has more glass in stock than anyone. So when you schedule a replacement with SafeLight, we'll get you back on your way faster. Plus, our work is backed by the only national lifetime guarantee, keeping you covered anywhere.
Just tell your insurance company you want SafeLight. Or call 1-800-800-2727. Or go to SafeLight.com.
SafeLight Repair, SafeLight Replace.
Micro talks with a real Ford service advisor.
Say hi to Fiona. Why would I bring my vehicle here for service?
When you bring your vehicle to a Ford dealership, you know that your vehicle is being worked on by technicians who work on Fords all day long.
Get a high-performance Motorcraft Tested Tough Plus or Tested Tough Max battery with a $25 mail-in rebate.
So when you bring your vehicle to a Ford dealership for service, we can very likely see you. Fiona.
First phase of the service drive.
See participating Ford dealer for rebate details or visit FordOwner.com through 83112.
More supermarkets are taking those loyalty cards to the next step. Some now are going beyond all cardholders, getting the same sale prices to individualized price cuts tailored to specific customers. It's a growing trend kicked off by two of the industry's biggest, Safeway and Kroger. Stores gather information on buying habits from those loyalty cards, targeting deals to individual shoppers. The New York Times says the pricing model is expected to extend to other grocery chains and over time could displace standardized price tags. J.C. penny has swung to a quarterly loss as comp sales plunged 22% in the last quarter, raising further questions about Chief Executive Ron Johnson's new pricing strategy. The company also says it no longer anticipates achieving its previously issued full-year earnings guidance, but does not provide an updated estimate. Penny shares are down 10% pre-market. The rest of Wall Street, S&P futures are down 7, NASDAQ futures down 9 points, Dow futures are down 54. I'm Steve Potusk in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Jay with Safe Light Auto Glass.
We know you depend on your vehicle, so when you have auto glass damage, you need it fixed fast. Safe Light has more glass in stock than anyone, so when you schedule a replacement with Safe Light, we'll get you back on your way faster. Plus, our work is backed by the only national lifetime guarantee, keeping you covered anywhere.
Just tell your insurance company you want Safe Light, or call 1-800-800-2727, or go to safelight.com.
Safe Light Repair, Safe Light Replace.
Hello, this is Bank. How can I help you?
Yeah, hi. My wife and I just had a baby, and I need to cash in my CD early.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank
Please
you.
Please note, early withdrawal penalties do apply. Fees are up to but not restricted to 50% of the CD's value. All withdrawals...
We're not sure what some banks mean when they say, how can I help you? At Ally Bank, we offer a no-penalty CD that lets you withdraw all your money after the first week of funding and keep the interest earned with no penalties. That's how Ally helps. Ally Bank. No nonsense. Just people sense. Member FDIC.
Your first word probably wasn't something like finance, or savings, or ATM. But whatever that first word was, it opened up a world to you that was built on conversations. It's this exchange of ideas that Wells Fargo puts into practice every day, through listening, guiding, and planning. So when the conversation is about ways to grow your savings or your business, we'll be here to help you find the right answers. Because an open dialogue is what opens doors. Wells Fargo. Together we'll go far. Wells Fargo Bank N.A.
For a while now, Exxon and Mobil have been talking about clean. But what exactly does clean mean? Well, it means all Exxon and Mobil gasoline is specifically engineered to help remove harmful deposits. It means our gasoline helps clean your intake valves, your engine runs smoother, and reduce emissions. It even means it helps improve fuel economy. At Exxon and Mobil, clean means gasoline that works smarter for you. Learn more at fuelprogress.com. Exxon and Mobil. Think clean.
It's the same each time with Progress. First they ignore you.
Then they say you're mad.
Then dangerous. Then there's a pause. And then you can't find anyone who disagrees with you. Welcome to your new reality. Welcome to your new opportunity. Welcome to your new hope. Welcome to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back, everybody. 7 minutes, actually 6.5 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Friday, the 10th day of August. Now, I said, and I'm trying not to be that junior high kid that can't wait for summer vacation to start, because my vacation starts at 9 o'clock. But I've got a serious hour of radio, so I'm glad that I actually programmed this the way I did, because it forces me to stay on game. When you have Harvey Santana in your studio, you don't take any minute off. I assure you that's true. But let's do this properly. Let's give Harvey an introduction, and let's get this going.
Uncommon in his approach and starkly honest in his words.
Chairman Daly on the House floor says, look, you got to be careful what you say. So what the hell are you talking about? Says some people took offense to your comments. I says, look, I raise issues.
First Shift welcomes back to our airwaves legislative leadership that is unique.
I'm not going to back down. If I see something wrong, I'm going to say it, because that's what the people of the 10th District sent me up there to do.
From the 10th District, State Representative Harvey Santana.
And he joins us. We're going to need to change that, because your district number will change. But congratulations, Representative Harvey Santana, on a very successful primary Tuesday for you.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you, 1310, and all my fellow progressives out there.
You had a good day, not just for yourself, and we're going to start with your race, but a lot of the people that you, of course, helped. One of those, David Kinesic, who we had on the show once with you, once without you, and I only thought it was fair to have him on once without you. We joked when he was here during the break. I said I was worried Harvey wasn't going to give you a chance to talk, but you didn't give Harvey a chance to talk. Good kid. Let's talk about the numbers, because we do need to talk a little bit about the numbers. You had actually two opponents. I did not know that. I thought you were only going to have one until I saw the results. So let's talk about that. I don't know that it necessarily made you nervous, but you never, you know, it's never comfortable having an opponent. You had to work, and you did.
Yeah, well, we never stopped working, and I think that was the key. The minute you get elected, unfortunately, you have to start thinking about a reelection. And so we automatically adopted the latest slogan, the new slogan, always on the job, always in the community. And I committed myself to making sure that I attended all my community meetings on a regular basis, that I made myself as public and as accessible as I could. We knocked doors on the off season. And we continued the mailing, and even when it was a re-election time after redistricting, we said, you know, we're not taking anything for granted, nothing. I don't care if we get no opponent or if Barack Obama himself decides he wants to be the state rep. We're going to go hard. And so we went out there, and we went door to door just like we always do, and we ran a campaign, you know, because you either run scared or unopposed, and we ran scared. Frightened.
Joe DeSano was on with us, and you know Joe, of course, with Main Street Shows. He was on with us on Wednesday morning. We were kind of going through handicapping some of the races, doing a lot of post-election conversation, and we were talking about your race, and he was describing you running from house to house, and I got an email from some people that said, well, I mean, he meant he just goes quickly. I said, no, he does literally run from house to house. And I remember last summer when you didn't have to do it. In fact, this summer you were campaigning. Mm-hmm. Last summer, when you didn't have to do it, you were out there knocking doors.
Yeah, I mean, because, again, it's always on the job, always in the community. We never stop working, Tony. I obsess over it. And I just like being out in the public, Tony, because when people hear that Harvey Santana is in the media, Harvey, you know, said something, Harvey did something, people have to understand, I am an elected official. My job is to represent the will of the community. And if the people are angry, then I'm going to show the people in a place of power where important decisions are made how angry they are, how upset they are. You know, I wanted to take a reporter on a tour of my district and show them an empty pool called Brennan Pools over at Rouge Park. 100 degrees out, no water in that pool. Why? Why should I go to Lansing with a big smile on my face? Go down Burt Road where there's 25 abandoned, vacant, burned up buildings. There's children playing in the street, and the street is like an Olympic obstacle course. There's trash everywhere, a boat, abandoned cars, bags of trash, furniture. And that's how you have children living? Go to Carver Elementary School, and there's 7 abandoned, vacant, derelict homes surrounding that school. And a child who is daydreaming looks out of the window. What is he looking at? An abandoned house? Trash? Blight? That's the future that he's looking at? And so I'm not going to be happy. I'm not going to have a big smile on my face. I'm not going to show all of my teeth because life is grand because I got a job. No, my job as an elected official is to represent the will of the community, and that's what I'm going to do.
No, I was pretty profoundly said, Representative Santana. Yeah, I mean, that stops and gives you pause. I mean, truly, it does. It does stop and give you pause. It'd be easy for you to go up to Lansing. I mean, you make a comfortable living. It's public knowledge what representatives, senators make here, and the governor, and et cetera. So you do make a decent living. There's no question about it. You could just go do your job, take the summer off, do what you want to do. And
think about how close this is. Yesterday on the news, what did we hear? 2 people were murdered on the Southfield service drive by Jerry Rowe. Cathedral. That's my district. I walked that neighborhood. I know that neighborhood. It's by Cody High School. 2 people were murdered with an AK-47. Was it the same AK-47 that took the life of Delrick Miller, a 9-month-old child that lived on Greenview Street, a street over from mine?
Could be.
It could be. But that's how close these things are to me. And so I sit there, and when I drive up 96, and that 90-minute drive to get up to Lansing, this is what weighs on my mind. And so when I get there, and I told this to Andy Kandrievis, who's listening now right now, State Rep Andy Kandrievis, I told him last night.
He's my state rep now.
I brought him out in front of my house. I said, this is the world that I live in. I started pointing everything out to him. And I said, so when I go up to Lansing, the questions I ask is, how do I fix these problems from where I sit? Because this is the reality that I live in. Maybe somebody has another reality, and that's fine. Their job is to represent their people. I'm representing mine. So when you see Harvey Santana the way he is, this is why, Andy.
Well, and certainly Andy would have different priorities.
That's right.
And certainly somebody from Portage, Michigan is going to have different priorities. In fact, you said that there was a one of your colleagues, a Republican colleague, came into your district not long ago.
That's right, Ken Yonker.
And you gave him a tour, and he was stunned. And you,
right.
you've offered that tour to anybody that wants to come take that tour. You're right. You do have different priorities. You do have a different perspective. And, yeah, it's not easy to go to work every day when you're arguing about a woman's right to choose, when you've got people that what they see out their front window is nothing but blight. You're right. You do have different priorities, as you should have
right.
different priorities.
Yeah, and, you know, to the extent that, you know, the mayor of the city of Detroit, the city council, individual members or a collective group of members lobby me, ask me for support on a certain bill, my number one question always is how is this going to improve the quality of life for the people I represent? First question. Don't tell me about some complex scheme of moving money around, three-card financial Monty. Don't talk to me about that. Talk to me about the result. And that's why I objected so strongly to that public lighting bill. I saw nothing that said this thing is going to solve the public lighting problem. All I saw was these people get this money, these people are in control of the money, and somehow, some way, the fairy godmother is going to come and turn on all the lights. So, again, public policy, you have to look at it, and you have to ask yourself the first question, how is this going to improve anybody's life?
Well, and I would venture to suggest that there are a lot of people that you serve with that never ask that question, period. They're happy to have their job. They understand the gift of incumbency. And, you know, listen, the majority of incumbents were returned to their seats. No question. Were they all worthy of it? We can have that discussion some other time, but no.
Ask this question. You got 110 state representatives up there, 38 senators. Some of those people, you have no idea who they are. You don't know what they stand for. They've never offered a bill, never offered an amendment. They're not passionate about anything. They're not concerned about anything. They sit there. The check clears just like everybody else's clears, but they've never given one floor speech. In caucus, they fall asleep. So you wonder, who's representing you? Because when you look at Harvey Santana, and this is what I've been able, I think, to accomplish in my first term. He's strong. He's tough. He's got a backbone. He's going to say what he needs to say. He's extremely loyal to the city of Detroit. He's extremely loyal to his constituents. Mind you, the word constituents, not voters, constituents. So if there's a drug dealer in that corner, I'm going to go talk to that guy. If there's a motorcycle club, I'm going to go talk to that motorcycle club. If there's a liquor store owner, I'm going to go talk to that guy because he's a business person who's paying taxes in my community. If it's an 85-year-old grandmother, I'm going to go talk to her. I'm loyal to my constituents. So I've established that in my first term. In the second term, my new challenge is how does Harvey deliver on the quality of life?
All right. Well, we're going to have to take a break here in just over a minute. So we'll come back. We'll talk about your second term. We're also going to talk about some of the other people. You were listening last Friday when I had your colleague Rashida Tlaib on the show. You did comment on it. I wasn't quite sure that those comments were appropriate for air, but let's just say you said she had a set that most men would die to have, something along those lines. So let's take the break here, Representative Santana. We will come back. If you'd like to join us, feel free to do that. 888-552-3595. The good news is we've got him for the whole hour today, and we're going to take every minute of it because he's here. Now that I've got him, I'm not going to let him go. I'm going to go fill up my coffee. We'll take a break, and we come back. It's all about us. So stay with us. And First Shift continues on 1310 WDTW right after this quick break.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
Mitt Romney's released only 1 year. To the McCain campaign, he released 23 years. And he's telling the American people, I'm not going to give you what I've given John McCain's people in 2008. And when he gave them 23 years, John McCain's people looked at it and said, let's go with Sarah Palin.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
As we head into your rush hour commute, we got a bit of good news. That accident has been cleared on 696 westbound just after 75, but you still have heavy traffic from Shaner. Also, we got stop-and-go traffic on 75 southbound between 14 Mile and 696. And use some caution in this area on 696 westbound at DeQuinter. Reports of a vehicle leaking fuel. And those traffic lights are still not working on Gratiot North and South at Wadhams Road, so treat that as a four-way stop. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 71 with thunderstorms scattered throughout the day. Tonight, a low of 60. Tomorrow, rainy and 75 degrees, and it's currently 64 outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting
for you now.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595. First Shift with Tony Triano on 1310 WDTW.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after the hour. State Representative Harvey Santana is my guest. We're gonna get to the Harvey Santana 2.0 in just a minute. Before we do that, I want to go back to the comment about Rashida Tlaib. What was it like for you to hear her last Friday get so emotional about something that you are equally as emotional about? Not that you've ever cried on this program, but certainly, you know, that had to move you.
You know, I love Rashida Tlaib with all my heart. I consider her a sister because me and her have intense conversations. She's the only person outside of my wife that's heard me cry over an issue. She's the only one I've ever really opened my heart out to. And we fight like cats and dogs. We don't always get along. So it's like family. To hear her like that, when I heard that, I said, Marine, better watch out. Because when Rashida gets like that, she's going all in and she's going harder than what you've ever could imagine. And I knew she would win. I knew she was going to pull it out because you can't throw something like that at someone like Rashida Tlaib and expect her to take it. She's going to come back fighting hard. I mean, I'd get out of her way.
Well, I got to tell you, I have always been, until this election, I have always been one of those people that says endorsements are great, but they don't win the elections. We may actually have an exception to that because the UAW turning on Maureen, and I don't mean that in a negative way, by turning their endorsement from a joint endorsement to only Rashida, I believe helped Rashida in a fairly significant way.
Yeah, you know, and I think I would have to agree with Joe DeSano's assessment of it, you know, because that came after all the absentees came out and, you know, the UAW retirees didn't have time to react to it. So we'll see how the data breaks out on it, but every little bit helps. But, you know, let's take a step back. Okay, and let's not look at it just locally. Let's look at this nationally. What happened in that race is a national model. Look at what happened in Kansas.
Yeah.
The Koch brothers said, you know what? We're done messing around with the federal level. We're just going to start getting involved in the state houses. What we're going to do is we're going to test. We're going to bankroll the operations of nine people who are like us, Tea Party Libertarians. If you're a moderate Republican, we want you out of the way. You like to work with the other side too much.
They've worked hard against moderate Republicans.
Remember what I said. I've said it on the show, and I've said it to my caucus, and I've said it to others. The center in politics has fallen out. There is no independent, I'm an independent thinker, I'm a moderate, I'm a conservative. No, you're either to the far right, or you better be on the left. You better pick a side. And I keep telling this to my caucus, and I keep telling this to others. Pick a side, because they bankrolled the operations of nine Tea Party Libertarians, and they all got elected. They all got elected. By my count, in the Michigan House of Representatives, there's at least 35 people that identify themselves with Tea Party Libertarian values. So the question I have on my side of the aisle is, are you hanging out on the fence? Stop going over there and showing your teeth and smiling at them. They want to work with you. Well, we gotta learn to build bridges. Really? What bridge? Not the one across the river. Public Act 4, that bridge? Hmm. How about the $800 million pension tax, that bridge? How about the $1 billion cut to education, that bridge? That's the one that they want to work with you on. How many times has Rick Snyder come down to the caucus and says, tell me your opinions. I want to hear what you guys have to say. How many times has the Speaker of the House come over and ask the Democratic caucus, give me your ideas. We want to work with you. We want to reach across the aisle. How many times has that happened? Because I've been to those meetings. I haven't seen either one of those people come to us and talk to us about working together. You know what it's been like for 18, 19 months? Here's our agenda. If you don't like it, get out of the way, because we're going to shove it down your throat.
And that's basically what they've done. Harvey, put on your headphones. We got a caller, and we want to get to it. Feel free to join us, by the way, 888-552-3595. Charles in Detroit joins us now. Charles, welcome to WDTW. We're on the air with State Representative Harvey Santana.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Yeah, Harvey, I've got it. Ask you this question. I mean, I heard you earlier talking about the Brightmoor, and I'm a firefighter in the city of Detroit. I actually run into more than enough houses in Brightmoor to know exactly what you're talking about in every situation, everything that you talked about earlier. My question is, how do you feel about our mayor and city council, you know, supporting these draconian cuts to public safety and basically hedging bets, you know, on the safety of your constituents?
Yeah.
And their lives, actually.
Well, thank you
not
for the call.
I'm sorry. Not to mention the fact that, you know, here we are sitting in a situation where, you know, they're crying about the budget and people's lives are at stake.
You're absolutely right. I don't know what goes through the minds of the city council people and the mayor. I got a checkbook. I got to balance, you know, well, my wife has to balance the checkbook every month. And so does the city of Detroit. But we also prioritize. And I think it's a sad day, Tony and to Charles. I think it's a sad day when what we're doing is saying to the cops, to the firefighters, and to our teachers, you're no longer a priority. We're no longer going to treat you like
and,
the professional
and Harvey,
that you are.
Let me interrupt you for a minute. It's not. It's also to the citizens.
Right. But if
the mayor says our first priority is public safety, and the first thing they cut is public safety,
then it's not a priority.
Lying.
Then it's not a priority. Okay. And I disagree with the mayor, and I've disagreed with what the city council has done. My job is to be innovative. My job is to push the envelope. My job is to try to come up with creative solutions to generate more revenue, to do more things. And my heart bleeds for those firefighters who have to go into these desolate areas in the middle of the night. There's no lights. They have their own little fog lights that they use to try to find out what's going on. You got down wires in some of these backyards. See, because when you're always on the job, always in the community, you visit these firehouses, and this is what they tell you. Me and Chris went, we had lunch with the firefighters, so I can understand what they're going through. And it's a tough road to hoe. It is a tough road to hoe. My thing is this. I don't think that a 10% across the board cut for these firefighters and police police officers is the right thing to do, because it's not 10%. It's 20%, because they just took a 10% cut not too long ago. And when you look at the entire cut, it's upwards to 30% when you look at their sick leave, sick time, their vacation time, and all the other stuff that goes in.
The healthcare, the co-pays.
Yeah. All of that. I mean, it's just more. So I hope we don't get to a point in government where we're paying firefighters and cops minimum wage to do the job that they're, you know, trying to do. Treat them like professionals.
Well, this is one of the stories we've been talking about this morning, is in the city of Taylor, the mayor there, Jeff Lamoran, was going to turn down an $8.1 million. You're shaking your head, so you're familiar with this. Mm-hmm. So he was going to turn down $8.1 million, decided to take it because I think his political grandstanding was over with. He got all the publicity he was going to get out of it. That's my opinion. He, of course, made the unions concede another $1.2 million. He won, which burns my ass because I can't stand the guy. You know, at the end of the day, if we're not taking care of our citizens, which is what you're basically what you're saying, Harvey, that's what you say. We need to take care of our citizens at a basic level. We're not doing that.
No.
And so that's where you're. If people see you as being angry, it's because you are. You have a reason to be. You're frustrated.
I'm representing the will of the people.
Yeah.
You know, I went out. We knocked on 5,000 something doors. Okay, 5,000 doors. And some people were okay, and you know, thank you. Other people just sat and want to keep you there for an hour to tell you about everything that's absolutely wrong and why they're upset. I'm doing my job.
Absolutely. All right, let's take a quick break here. State Representative again, Harvey Santana, my guest. Charles, thank you so much for that call. 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org on Twitter at Tony Trupiano. We take the break. We'll come back. Got a lot more to go when we continue.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
As we head into your rush hour commute, we got a bit of good news. That accident has been cleared on 696 westbound just after 75, but you still have heavy traffic from Shaner. Also, we got stop-and-go traffic on 75 southbound between 14 Mile and 696. And use some caution in this area. 696 westbound at DeQuinder, reports of a vehicle leaking fuel. And those traffic lights are still not working on Gratiot North and South at Wadhams Road, so treat that as a four-way stop. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 71 with thunderstorms scattered throughout the day. Tonight, a low of 60. Tomorrow, rainy and 75 degrees, and it's currently 64 outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
This is D. Alexander Bullock. Join me and Tony Trupiano on August 25th at 12 noon for the Crusade for America Parent and Youth March. We march for an urban policy. We march for a war on poverty. We march to save democracy. We march to stop gun violence. Get active, get engaged, and get involved. For more information, like us on Facebook at Rainbow Push Detroit and follow us on Twitter at Rainbow Push MI.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Poor Alec just keeps bumbling, stumbling, and tumbling. You could feel sorry for such a hapless soul, except that this isn't a person, but the soulless Alec, the American Legislative Exchange Council. This secretive corporate front is behind hundreds of regressive and repressive bills that are being pushed through Republican-controlled state legislatures. Its bills and tactics are so venomous that 35 of Alec's brand-name corporate funders, from Amazon to Walmart, have withdrawn their names and money this year. But with the billionaire Koch brothers and others behind it, Alec will continue stumbling ahead with his far-right agenda. Condemning it is one thing, but what's really needed is a non-corporate, independent, above-board, overtly progressive alternative to Alec's special interest backroom conniving. A clean source of model legislation readily available for the consideration of local and state public officials and the public at large. Well, great news, folks. ALICE will soon arrive. The American Legislative and Issues Campaign Exchange, or ALICE, is not just a clever play on Alec's name, but an effective counter to its agenda and methods. Originated by Joel Rogers, one of Progressive America's most creative thinkers and doers, ALICE will offer a one-stop, web-based public library of about 1,000 model laws on a wide range of policy issues, complete with in-depth background materials. It's a nationwide cooperative effort that already has enlisted a couple of hundred professors, policy experts, students, lawyers, and others who are volunteering their brains, energy, and time to assemble a first-rate, easily accessible library open to all lawmakers, mayors, grassroots groups, media, and, well, everyone. This is Jim Hightower saying, if you'd like to help ALICE in some way, go to www.alicelaw.org. Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at HightowerLowdown.org.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
We want to hear from you.
Interact with First Shift.
Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page.
Tweet us at Tony, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O. Or call us now, 1-888-552-3595.
Now, back to the show and Tony.
So you got the number, 35 minutes after 8 o'clock. State Representative Harvey Santana is my guest. And now, you know, when I had this conversation with Congressman Gary Peters about an hour ago. Certainly, you're in a Democratic-leaning district. We can make an assumption that you'll win the general. You still have to do a race. I mean, you know, I'm sure you have a Republican opponent. But this also gives you an opportunity to help others along the way. You fairly safely can assume that you're going to win and you've got a second term. Are you thinking about what that second term should look like for you?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the things that I'm going to focus on is making sure that I put a lot of pressure on the caucus. And the people won't see it because it'll be the kind of political stuff that happens. But I'm going to put a lot of pressure because one of the things that upset me in this first term, David Rutledge, state representative from Ypsilanti, pointed something out during the governor's first budget proposal. $1 billion cut to education, $800 million cut to businesses. We covered that with a pension tax. We disagreed with it. And so David Rutledge asked, what's our alternative budget? Do we have an alternative plan? The response that we were given was, no, we're not going to do that. Well, wait a minute. So what are you going to do? So our strategy was sit on our side of the aisle and throw gang signs at the other side and give them mean looks. And that was our strategy. That failed. Okay. In the second term, the governor throws out another budget. We don't like it. My question was, what's our alternative budget? Well, we don't have one. Not one press conference, no press release, no media attention was given to this. So my question is, when are we going to throw up an alternative budget? When are we going to take out a play from the Republican handbook? Let me say this, and I'll give these people credit, and it'll show you what happens when you stand up. Paul Ryan, Republican, the leader of the Tea Party caucus down there in D.C., is now being considered for VP, is he not? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Why? He threw out what was called the Paul Ryan plan. For an entire budget cycle, all we kept hearing was this Ryan plan.
Yep.
He didn't sit down at his computer and come up with this plan. He went to a conservative think tank, T. Tea Party libertarian think tank. They gave him a plan. He slapped his name on it. He grabbed a bunch of people behind him and said, this is the Paul Ryan plan. Cut, cap, and balance, I think is what it was. Every time the president was asked about his budget, they kept referring back to that. What if Harvey Santana stood at a podium with others and said, this is the Harvey Santana way. This is the way to move Michigan forward in a responsible way, not with these drastic cuts, not with cutting all these services, not with putting children in harm's way. Because if you looked at the governor's plan, it's hypocritical. He talks about making education a priority in the state, but you cut it by $1 billion. Talk about the strength of competing with other countries. Well, we can't do it. We have a draconian education system. And so what happens if I throw out an alternative plan and not get caught up in the dysfunction of the caucus? I grab a couple of people who are progressive and say, let's do this. And we go out there. The governor is now forced to answer the question, why aren't you adopting some of these democratic ideas, some of their values, some of their budget priorities, some of their very reasonable suggestions of what to do with this budget? What would the governor's response be then? What would Jace Bolger's response be then? What would Randy Richardville's response then be? They'd have to answer that question. So moving forward, I'm going to put a lot of pressure on this caucus about what is our alternative view. Don't tell me about your values. Don't tell me about what you say you stand for. Tell me about what you're going to do to counter any proposal that they push out there.
Okay. Well, that sounds very ambitious, Harvey Santana, and it sounds like it's something that is needed. Certainly, those of us that are truly progressive here in the state of Michigan clamor for this kind of stuff.
Tony, we
want to have this conversation.
You use the word ambitious. Don't get scared now. You know, this is like the kid, like David Kinesic, shows up one day, I'm going to be a United States Marine, shows up in a Parris Island, South Carolina, puts his feet on the yellow footprints. All of a sudden, the drill instructor starts barking in his ear. What do? Cry? Get back on the bus? Say, get the hell out of here? No. You asked for the job. Now go do it. That's what I'm doing.
Fair enough.
Don't get scared because you got the title, you got the fame, and you're up there, and you go back and you tell people how great and wonderful and how hard you're fighting. Let me see how hard you're fighting. Let me push you to the edge of the cliff. Let me see if you look over and you say, oh, I'm scared. Don't get scared now because I'm going to turn up the heat. Let's see what you got.
All right. Well, here's a fair question. Your party has put you in the doghouse. They have. They took you off your committees. They don't give you a voice. They just let you come to work and raise your hand. That's all they're doing. Are they going to let you back in?
I don't know if I've ever been kicked out. I mean, I choose not to go to caucus. When I see leadership, then I'll go back to caucus.
Fair enough. Fair enough. So your current leadership is not satisfactory to your agenda.
No. I want to see people push harder. I want to see them really take on the other side. And I just haven't seen it. You know, standing up at the podium, raising your hand, Mr. Speaker, Mr. Speaker, Mr. Speaker, objecting to immediate effect, that doesn't cut it. To me, that doesn't cut it. If you look at what the Republicans do, they stand in line. They hold their line. You know, Jace Bolger rigs an election. Do they throw him under the bus and say, look, we need to move in a different way? No, they don't. They rally behind him.
Yeah, well, I don't know that that's going to ultimately help them, but let them. You're right. I cannot take away the point because the point is accurate. All right, so here's the situation. You find yourself next Wednesday, I believe it is, back in session. We know that Public Act 4 on the good side is going back, is going on the ballot. But we're also told that next Wednesday it'll be replaced by something else, which will, of course, pass because we have a Republican majority in both houses. God, again, that has to be frustrating, Harvey. It just has to be frustrating knowing that the will of the people is again being ignored.
Okay. Again, welcome to the bizarre world called Lansing. You got Tea Party libertarians who scream freedom and liberty. America founded on people who wanted freedom from an oppressive government. And what do the Republicans do? They introduce legislation that creates exactly that, an oppressive government, a dictator. So who was it that said when fascism comes to the United States, it's going to be draped in an American flag?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? And so, because we're term limited, because the Republicans are in control, because the Koch brothers are bankrolling operations, and because they've introduced this Tea Party ideology, what do we have now? Well, we control government, so let corporations come in and rule everything. We'll cut everything. We'll shrink government. We'll make it so ineffective and inoperable that we'll be forced to bring in the privatization of services. And that's what this is. That's one step in a larger process. Can't get it this way, do it the other way.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about some of the other races you were involved in. We mentioned David Kinesic a little earlier. He won, I mean, walking away. Wasn't even close. And we weren't, you know, listen, before an election, you don't know. You don't know what the will of the people are. You want it to be a certain thing. Certainly, it would make sense, but you and I have both seen elections, Harvey, where what made sense didn't happen.
Right.
This one made sense, and sense won out here. He's, and I'm sure you've talked to David Kinesic since the primary day on Tuesday. I would imagine. And again, he is in another district that will go Democrat. So he just needs to stay clean, mm-hmm. make sure he runs a general election campaign. He gets through November 6th and he's going to be a representative in the state house. That's a wonderful thing. How is he feeling about things? We'll reach out to him, but
I think right now he's pretty ecstatic. I'm sure he's overwhelmed with the flood of congratulatory calls he's getting, calls from other reps looking to work with him. And so my advice to David has been and will continue to be during his first term, stay in your district. Stay in your district. The four words that were given to me by someone that I grew to respect. Why? Because you don't want to become that guy that gets elected, then all of a sudden forgets who elects you, and you go up to Lansing, get caught up with all of that, and then you're down in the district, and you forget about those people. No, stay in your district. Get to know the people that you work for. Get to know the people who elected you, because the people in Lansing didn't elect you. The people in your 11th district elected you. David is just a fascinating guy. I love him dearly. He's a fellow service member, and my job now is to watch his back and make sure he doesn't make, you know, mistakes. And to help him, give him the tools that he needs to make the decisions that he needs to make.
He's a bright kid. I shouldn't call him a kid. He's a bright young man. I was real impressed with him both the times we had him in studio. I did talk to him on the phone a few times. Was thrilled to see that a lot of money was thrown against him in the last weeks of the mm-hmm. campaign against the Dick DeVos Great Lakes Education Project. Michelle Reese, Students First, that threw money at him. Of course, we had helped out Cody Bailey, his opponent, as the Republican that he was. I think that might have helped a little bit. But ultimately, this is one of those races where it really needed to go to a progressive, and David is a real progressive.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what campaigns are, okay? And I told David, whatever you do, be yourself. Don't try to be what you think people want. Be who you are. Because eventually this process is going to filter that out. If you don't like kids, it's going to come out. If you don't like shaking hands with people, it's going to become known. If you have hidden political ideology, it's going to come out in the campaign. And that's what happened, I think, with Cody Bailey. He got into something he just had absolutely no idea what he was walking into.
The maturity level between the two candidates, that 4 years was a mountain. We got to get to the break. Harvey Santana, my guest, let's take the break. We'll come back and wrap it up on the other side.
With Tony Tribbiano.
Richard, good morning to you. How you doing today?
Great, Tony. Wow, wonderful show, man. Since you've been on, it's been a breath of fresh air, I got to tell you.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Tribbiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. You are connected to the Internet. I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
Alex Trebek suffered a mild heart attack yesterday. He is recovering nicely in a Los Angeles hospital. I happen to have a lot of respect for Alex Trebek. All right, so he's given to Republicans. I enjoy Jeopardy. I don't want him to go anywhere.
Who is Tony's second favorite Canadian?
That's right.
Do you think he gets tired of hearing the form of a question? Like, he's in the hospital right now, and the doctors are like, what is someone needs to take better care of themselves?
On 1310 WDTW.
Yes, he absolutely does get that, and I'm sure he's sick and tired of it.
Tony and the crew are punching back in and looking to hear from you.
1-888-552-3595.
Tell us what's on your mind. Now, here's First Shift and Tony Trupiano.
All right, 10 minutes before the top of the hour. As I often say, sometimes the best part of the interview happens during the commercial break. But I say, it is what it is. We're actually... here in a few weeks going to be streaming video.
Cool.
So we're going to have to watch ourselves during the commercial breaks.
Chris, that's going to be interesting.
Chris, Harvey's chief of staff, is moaning and groaning. Listen, I don't want to get let you get out of here today without talking about the first House district and Brian Banks. So that was a tough race. I mean, that was a really, of all the races, that one was the true toss-up because there were some really quality candidates in that first House district.
Yes. I supported a young man by the name of Brian Banks, who's an attorney and a PhD candidate. This is what happens when you reach out to Harvey Santana. Brian Banks picked up a phone, called me. And the conversation I have with him is the conversation I have with a lot of people. You know, your life is different now. The minute you pick up your phone and you dial my digit, your life is never going to be the same. You invited me into your life. Now, you want me to help you? You're going to have to do what I tell you to do. And you're going to have to adopt a certain lifestyle. And Brian Banks did that. David Kinesic did that. And I told him, look, if you want to win this thing, you're going to have to learn how to be absolutely aggressive at those doors. You're going to have to learn how to ask for money. You're going to have to learn to do things that you're uncomfortable doing. And Brian Banks did it every single day. I'd call him like a drill instructor. How many doors did you knock on? How much money did you raise? Who did you talk to? Stop meeting with people. How long did you spend with that person? That's an hour that you could have spent at the door talking to someone who's actually going to vote. Okay. And so with Brian Banks, I did that. And my job throughout a lot of this process was to act like a mentor, act like a coach, act like someone's, you know, rock. I did that with Rashida. I did that with David. I did that with Brian Banks. You know, you call me, I'm going to motivate you. I'm going to get you back out there. I'm going to give you an alternative way of looking at things. I'm going to turn the negative into a positive, kick you in your rear and get you out there, back on those doors and get you to go win.
The pundits will tell us, Representative Santana, that the Democrats are not going to win the House, that they will still be in the minority after November 6th. So we need to get to the election. We need to let that take care of itself.
Tony, the pundits said that I could never win. Pundits said that I could never finish an Ironman. Pundits say that I could never run a marathon. Did all of that. Okay. The potential is there.
The question then becomes, is our strategy there? The question then becomes, is that heart and that will and that determination there? Look, I never judge a person by what they have. I never judge a person by their resume. I judge a person based on how much heart they got in their spirit to go out there and fight. That's what I judge.
Let's talk about Roy Schmidt. He was in your caucus, no longer in your caucus. He is now a Republican, barely won in a last-second write-in bid. And in fact, had I think this guy had another 2 weeks, Roy Schmidt would have lost, but it doesn't happen. He will. I don't think he's going to win his seat back. I don't. I think Winnie Banks Brinks will be the one that that takes that seat. But doesn't this give us an opportunity as Democrats to dialogue about exactly what Republicans, I mean, doesn't that represent everything that's wrong with the current Republican Party?
Well, you know, let me start off with Roy. Roy was one of those guys in our caucus that I had a good relationship with, and I still do. Roy, I don't agree with what Roy did. I don't like what he did. But when it happened, I gave it some time. I reached out to Roy. Me and Roy went out to lunch, had a conversation. And I told Roy, look, I'm not going to judge you based on what you did. I don't like what you did. But by the same token, I want you to know, I don't want you to fly off the deep end. I don't want to hear that you woke up, and you find yourself in a motel with a cheap bottle of whiskey and a revolver. Because the world that you've now walked into is different.
Very different.
And all the hell that you're going to catch is going to be, you know, ugly. So keep your faith. Do whatever it is that Republicans like you now are going to do. But just remember, you asked for this, you know, and everything that's going to come with. And he knew that. It hurts, you know, when that kind of happens because you sense a feeling of betrayal, and no one likes to be betrayed. And so now you're looking at that race. I don't know anything about Winnie Banks. I guess I'm going to have to go back and figure out what I can do to support the Democrat on that side. And it'll be interesting to see what we do. Look, we got some great candidates throughout the state, some very excellent candidates, and we have a lot of opportunities. It'll be interesting to me to see if we can't take control of the House when we close the gap, is the leadership in that caucus going to be able to get the Democrats in line and to hold them to that line and to make them make sure that they don't break that line, because now the desperation starts. Real leadership is going to be able to hold that caucus together, because if the leadership tells you, don't go over to the other side, we got them on the run, don't go over there selling used cars, don't go over there trying to cut your own little deal so you get a bill passed, what's going to happen if that one member strays over there? What's the leadership in the caucus going to do? How are you going to discipline? How are you going to party with that person?
Well, the investigation is ongoing. We are told, us in the media anyway, are told that there's more coming, and it may be very, very damaging to the speaker, maybe very damaging to Representative Schmidt.
We'll, you know what my proposal is? I think the speaker should remove himself from all of his committees.
Yeah, there you go. Gee, where'd you get that idea? Well, you know, that's not a bad idea. Harvey, I got to tell you, we've only got a couple, literally 2 minutes left before we've got to get out of here today. First of all, we've been together a little over a year now, and I'm hoping that we haven't talked. I'm hoping you want to continue to do our monthly sessions.
Oh, absolutely.
It sounds to me that you're talking about becoming a little more policy focused.
Yeah.
And I don't mean this in a negative way, but I'm a little more accomplishment minded.
Mm-hmm.
I realize that being in the minority, that can be difficult. But what I really heard you say in this last hour is it's time to whether they want to hear it or not, the people want to hear what it is Democrats have to say. So mm-hmm. let's start saying it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, what you're going to see, and Harvey Santana's the switching of the gears, it's going to be more meet the press instead of Monday Night Wrestling. It's going to be more public policy focused. And we're going to start raising a lot of serious issues, you know, in terms of what we need to do to get Detroit back on track. I don't want to see gimmicks and late gimmick tricks. I want to see solid solutions coming from, you know, the city of Detroit. And it'll be interesting because next year we're going to have a city council by district race in the city of Detroit. We're going to have a new mayoral race in the city of Detroit. And so here we are at the bottom. You know, you can't keep digging a hole and expecting yourself to eventually climb out of that hole at some point. You know, we're going to have to come up with something. And to the extent that they need my help, then we'll do everything we can to help the city of Detroit.
We're out of time.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Folks, I'll be gone, as will Jeff and Anthony, until a week from Monday. In the meantime, we're doing it. We don't care. We've earned this, and we're taking our break. And so enjoy the week. Enjoy the best of shows. If you do need me throughout the week, feel free to send an email. Don't be shocked if you don't get a response, because I'm avoiding the office at almost all cost this week. Thank you so much, Anthony and Jeff, for everything you do. You're an amazing audience. The email address, again, is tony@thetonyshow.org. And as always, I ask that you be well.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Your busy Friday morning commute continues. We have an accident that has the right lane blocked in both directions on Coolidge Highway, just north of Maple Road. Also, we got another accident that has your left two lanes blocked on Telegraph southbound just before Maple Road. Now, we still got those reports of a vehicle leaking fuel on 696 westbound at DeQuinder, and that's causing slow traffic from Grosbeck. Got a disabled vehicle blocking the center lane on 75 northbound at 14 Mile. And we got reports of metal debris in the two left lanes, so use some caution on southbound 75 just after Holbrook. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 71 with thunderstorms scattered throughout the day. Tonight, a low of 60. Tomorrow, rainy and 75 degrees, and it's currently 64 outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
If you missed today's first shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
This is